Square has an ace up their sleeve against the Kingdom Hearts leak. The release doesn't include the entirety of the game's content. Chalk went up to the ability to patch games, maybe? This is just one story. Join us for more on this and the rest of the week's gaming news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 757 for this December the 23rd of 2018, our last show of the year, because we're actually not going to be here next week.
My bad.
That's okay. Here in studio, myself, Rob Roberts, and Techmaster Loki joining me.
Yes, I'm here.
As he does every Sunday night over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network, where every gamer has a voice, and we do broadcast live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOG Network, and you can check out more great shows at VOGnetwork.com. But we are right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, who had a great show tonight with some Sony PlayStation VR recommendations. I know the news is getting a little bit slower this time of year, but we still have some things to talk about tonight.
It's the time of year when everyone does their year-end recaps of, like, best games of 2018 and all the other, like, I don't know. A lot of it was just very, you know, slow Newsweek type of articles. Just like, here's how I unlocked these games, or here's how I got enough platinum coins in, you know, the Nintendo store to be able to unlock this game for free, because I did surveys on websites, and it's like, why is that an article? That's not an article.
It's filler. It's clickbait because people show that stuff on
it's like you need the right
Facebook.
There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So I guess I'm looking in chat and they're saying that the intro did not have audio tonight. I don't know. You'll hear it on the podcast because I can easily fix it there. But we're learning some new things about video. Jason actually did a wonderful video. Yeah. He actually did the video introduction tonight. And for whatever reason, I must have made a boo-boo on my end and kept the audio muted on it. So that's why we started the Twitch thing in 2018, so that we could have like a few test episodes. And then in 2019, we'd be like good to go and we could really start promoting and all that stuff.
But hey, the date's correct.
The date is correct tonight. I have my eyes out for that this time. Absolutely. lots of great feedback from you guys last week. Thanks so much. Already up to just about 100 followers over on the VOG Network channel, and that's so amazing.
Although I did notice that the ticker on the bottom had the episode number for last week.
Oh, did it? What?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't think the episode number is in the ticker bar.
That said something. Maybe that was just reading one of the articles.
I don't know. Yeah, it's easy to get distracted with all this video.
But, so many things.
Yeah. And over in our chat, over at Twitch TV, ActF says, Palindrome episode 2. Yes, that's right. 757. Yes. It's the same, forward and backwards. How do you celebrate a palindrome episode? I'm not sure. Let's see. Going to Run, Jump, Stomp over at Twitch says, it's an article because they get paid by the word. Well, you know what? I mean, people are still using Facebook and social media and all that stuff. Twitter is not going to slow down just because it's Christmas Day. I mean, for one, not everybody celebrates Christmas. We know that. Yeah. But even that, you know, people work on Christmas. But it's just, you know, I think there's a lot of people, too. I don't know about your family traditions, but I know in my family on Christmas. So we would do, you know, and this was when I was younger. We would do the presents. We would open the gifts. We would do all that exchange. And then it was kind of like, after the morning, it's like, all right, Christmas is kind of done. Hang out till 3 o'clock for dinner. And for me, that would be a great time to go play whatever video game I probably got for Christmas. But, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, the holidays are over at that point. And sometimes we would go to the movies. That's something we started doing later when I was more in my 20s.
I would love to do that, except that it's going to be crazy at the movie theaters.
Yeah.
And I know we're doing food, though. So, like, Christmas Day we're doing at my house. Christmas Eve we're going to my mom's house to go open stuff there, which I just talked to her in the car. So, apparently, my niece is going to be opening some gifts earlier on because she's not going to be able to wait until the evening because the gifts are all going to be there. So, she's going to open her gifts, and then she'll have to wait, and we'll open our gifts, and the kids will open their gifts on Tuesday, and they have a lot of stuff.
They have a lot of stuff. Any games that you might benefit from, too, that you actually got your kids?
Well, this is a bold strategy that I tried in order to get the Switch. So we have. So my thought originally, because I had...
Get the wife a personal Blu-ray player so she can watch her Grey's Anatomy and stuff?
No, not like that. So originally my idea was I'm going to get the kids... some games for the Switch so that they could play some new games that they were looking for. But then I realized that's games and two. They're going to have games, but they're only going to have one console, and they're going to be fighting over it. And that's not going to make for a good day for me. So, whereas most people are like, well, just they'll get over it. My thought process was, okay, let's buy them each game systems. And so they're going to be getting a 2DS and four...
And the Soulja Boy console!
No. Oh. And four games each.
Okay, so, that's pretty nice.
Yes, because apparently... You know, those GameStop cards
wow,
or whatever.
Wow, Dad's got money.
No, I don't. It's a, you know those GameStop cards that you pay for stuff and you get that stupid magazine each month and stuff? Well, apparently you accumulate points with that I was completely unaware of until this week. And I had like a ton of points that I could redeem for gift cards in the store, which then paid for a bunch of used copies of stuff and...
No complaints.
Yes, and plus the 2DS systems, not the 2DS XL, because those are $150 versus $70 in the game.
They're very reasonable. I mean, that's what the DS is really like meant to be at this point, is that the DS is really intended to be like the baby's first, well, not baby, but you know, like tween slash kid first console.
So they're going to get, well, it comes preloaded with New Super Mario Bros. 2, so they got that, Mario Kart 7, mm-hmm. Animal Crossing, New Leaf. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Maker for the 3DS, and then the one game that they'll fight over because they have different games each. Josh is getting Super Mario 3D Land because he used to play 3D World.
Oh,
and
sure.
He was disappointed when we got rid of the Wii U because he couldn't play that anymore, and it's basically the same game. And then Mario Party Top 100 for Danny because he likes playing Mario Party.
Speaking of Mario, and this is a random tangent, but since you brought it up, and we are a video game show after all, we are going to talk. If you're new, because we just had our first show on Twitch, even though we've been doing this show for 16 and a half years since 2002, I don't expect that a lot of people necessarily knew what Shoutcast is or was listening to stuff within that. So I know this whole Twitch thing is still a little bit newer for us.
Yeah.
So we're adjusting to it too, hence why we have some bugs like the audio in the intro and things like that. We do talk about games, of course, over the next few hours. And since you brought up Mario, the game that was on the Wii U, so what, New Super Mario Bros. U, gets its Switch port, like, next month. And I totally forgot that, like, that was going to be a thing until I saw some random article.
Yeah, the
deluxe
one has, like, that in the New Luigi.
Well, that game is Bowsette, is the fault of where Bowsette came from and why we have all that crap. I mean, fan art. Because that was the one where you have, what was it, like Toadette, or she gets the, I can't even remember what it is now, but it's I know it's Peach, where Bowsette started,
and Peachette or something like that?
Yes, it's Peachette. Yeah, I think Peachette. It's like Toadette meets Peach, and then there's the whole thing. So I don't know, maybe somebody in our chat remembers what all that is about over at our Twitch TV channel at VOG Network. And something else. So a lot of the feedback from Twitch last week was very positive, but I do have a good friend that will always kind of like tell me like your tag's sticking out and, you know, the nitpicky things that are going on and so forth. So was kind of giving me the feedback on OLR and saying that like at some points I was like on my phone, like I got, oh my God, I got caught, because remember, you guys couldn't see us before, so that was like totally normal. Is that Loki be reading a story, and I'd be like checking the headlines, and, you know, what else going on? What's going on with my Twitter and all this other stuff, and
catching a Pokemon.
Know, what Facebook game and Pokemon? And I was like, oh crap, you guys can see that, and it does look really weird when I do that, and it also probably looks weird when I'm like turning back and forth.
Because I'm not just looking. It's hard to look at the camera and the chat room and the screen and you, and so it's like where do I look?
I'm not like complaining because they're probably watching and like, are you really complaining about that on air? But it's like, no, I actually thought like, oh crap, that is like really good feedback and something like I'm not thinking of with this whole Twitch thing. So we are trying to make like small baby steps where I'm trying to look at Loki more tonight. And, if you guys wonder like, why do I keep turning away over here? It's because your guys' chat is over here and the stories and things I do. But as we move into next year and get a little more used to this and get that USB cable that will allow our camera to be further back, we'll probably rearrange the studio a little bit so it's not so weird.
Yeah.
But remember, we said that when we were going to first go to Twitch, the goal was do the same show but do it on Twitch, and they'll just kind of be video there. But, you know, we're going to try to grow up and make it better.
It's not bad where it's at. I don't know really how much further back are we going to get.
Well, I still don't know how when Jamie's back from her break, because, of course, Dark Sakura, she's not here tonight. She's still on her extended work break. But when she comes back, I'm not sure to what extent she's going to want to be involved. I still really love the idea of a Dr. Claw type thing where you can like see your hand and that whole thing. Yeah. So I've talked to her about that. So we'll figure out how we'll set all that up. And I'm sure Alan, my husband, will be thrilled at rearranging this room completely yet again. So there you go. Run Jump Stomp in chat says that chair looks really uncomfortable. It's fine. You actually, I don't know if it's Loki or me, but Loki, you prefer this to the couch. Like, I was like, you could just sit on the couch, but you kind of like something with the back on that, right?
Yeah, this is fine. It's just the couch is really, you sink into it a bit,
yeah.
And it was hard to have, like, the laptop, you know, on a TV tray
mm-hmm.
and be able to do that. It's a lot easier with this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Bobby Blackwolf calls out from the last show, when I walked away. And it's like, you know, again, you guys couldn't catch me doing that before, but at some point, this little cup of water, I drink a lot of water while doing the show. It runs out, and I got to go fill up, but I'm going to try my best to hold it till the break tonight. But, like, if there's a potty emergency or something, I'm just going to go. Like, that's what you got to do. I'm just going to get up and go.
Right.
Or Mr. Smush starts screaming. It is what it is. Although, he's a little more well-behaved now. He was losing his crap earlier, but I think he's under control now.
Yeah.
All right, we're good. All right, well, let's get into news. We got some news going on this week. I know it's a little bit lighter, but we do have some things going on in the news, so let's get into it. A big thing people are talking about on social media involving the most popular game right now in the world, even if I don't play it as much, but I know tons of people do. It's Fortnite, right?
Yeah, my son plays it a lot now.
I keep
Although
forgetting.
He doesn't play with people, he just plays the creative mode now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just fun for him to mess around with it, so... So apparently there's been some lawsuits regarding the dancing emotes that are in the game. So one of the things that Fortnite's known for is these like famous dances within the game. And of course, apparently now they have Alfonso Ribeiro. What is up with your cat? Anyways,
Smush is up on the table where I got it. I'll be back.
Okay. I heard him just like sneezing or whatever.
Right after that whole talk about leaving.
What are you going to do? So anyways, so with the whole you know, thing being popular in the game, of course, now Alfonso Ribeiro is basically saying that, hey, you guys stole my dance without even asking, and there's definitely been no compensation for it. So he filed a lawsuit against Epic Games regarding that. But then again, there's also, you know, video out there that TMZ provided saying that, oh, hey, you know, he stole the dance from somebody else. But I think when he says steal, it's more of like he took this part and this part from two other people, something that they did, and then he mixed in some other stuff, and that's more just like creating your own thing. That's not just straight up, right, you know, taking something and using it without any sort of permission or whatever, but basically saying, you know, hey, Epic has earned record profits off of downloadable content in the game, including emotes like Fresh, which is the dance that they're referring to, yet Epic has failed to compensate or even ask for permission from Mr. Ribeiro or use of his likeness in iconic intellectual property. I mean, definitely the dances, you can tell where it's from, obviously, in Fresh, you know, definitely alluding to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But he's not the only one, though, that's also had issue with it. So apparently, and I'm not sure who this kid is, but they call him Backpack Kid. Basically, he was part of a performance that Katy Perry did.
Wait, you don't know Backpack Kid?
I don't know Backpack Kid.
Y'all are going to regret this Twitch thing. You
nope,
ready?
Nope,
you ready?
No, you're not flossing. Fucking sit down right now. Sit down. We're not doing this shit. This shit is not happening on our show. Enough. The line, we're drawing the line there. We're not doing... You look fucking dumb. Just don't do that. Eventually, when my kid comes to the show again, yes, he'll fucking do that. But no. We are too damn old to be doing that shit.
And if we raise $50, we'll go back to Shoutcast.
So anyways, Backpack Kid, who, you know, of course, made famous flossing, you know, the dance of the children, so he is, of course, joining the lawsuit as well. I thought there was another artist, too, that was basically saying, hey, what the fuck? But, I mean, let's be honest here, though. Like, the Carlton dance has been a ton of fucking shit. I mean, they've had that emote, and I can remember Saints Row had that shit in there. But I guess it's just maybe because they're selling it as a separate thing instead of it being included. And then who knows? Maybe they asked for permission in that game. But maybe it's just because they're specifically selling it and because it's the most popular game right now that it's caught the attention versus Saints Row, who, you know.
I think that's key. What you're talking about is that how they're selling it, because I think when I think of like pop culture dances and games, the first thing I remember is World of Warcraft.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and that they had that in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, like how the Draenei, I think, did the Tunok dance. Like they did a lot of meme stuff that they did. I think the Blood Elf female does Brittany Toxic, and you know, they're very mainstream type of stuff. And you know, well, what's funny now is that, you know, because World of Warcraft is, you know, over like what, like 14 years old at this point, like a lot of the stuff that's in it is referencing things that were memes like 14 years ago. But still, you're right, like dances have been in games for a long time, but in WoW it was kind of built in. So yeah. What's the point between like parody and like making a profit it? Is that really parody when it's just like lifting the dance?
I think it's just how identical the dance is, maybe. It's because you can copyright a dance, but I don't know why this would be, you know, liable for, you know, some sort of restitution versus something else. Also, I should mention, though, that they're not just suing Epic Games as well. They're also suing 2K Games over NBA 2K, which also apparently has emotes in that game as well. I thought that was a fucking basketball game. Why you're doing the Carlton is... No, why? Where's that coming from?
I thought
play?
That was like a sportsy thing. Like, I have to admit, I'm not the biggest sports, but I know, like, in football, when they get to the end zone and they do a touchdown, like, wasn't there, like, I remember, like, wasn't there the guy, the Tebow or whatever his name was, that would always, like, pray, take a knee and do that whole thing?
We don't talk about that now either.
Yeah, I know. Now we can't talk about taking a knee in the NFL, but I'm going to say that for another day. So, but anyway, so yeah, I mean, what?
Or in Destiny. Destiny
has that too.
Yeah.
So are they, I mean,
it's just
a lot of questions.
It's, I think what it is because nowadays, games, whether it be a free to play game like Epic, you know, Epic's Fortnite, which that's fine if they're selling shit like that in the game because it's free to play, or Destiny and 2K, you know, NBA 2K, which are full $60 games. That you also are paying for microtransaction bullshit as well on top of it, because some of the money is not all of the money, and they need all of the money, and that's why they're doing this shit.
It is going to raise this. I mean, we've been talking for a long time about how, like, you know, intellectual property rights and trademarks and a lot of that stuff really needs to be reevaluated in this digital area, this digital era, because so much, you know, we have so much homegrown stuff, even like the stuff we're doing on Twitch. We still don't even, like, really have a question to, or an answer. And we have a question. We don't have an answer to, like, what really is the legality when, like, you play a game and you're talking over it, like, who really owns that? Do you really own that, or does the game maker have a say in that? And, like, sure, a lot of us, because we do stream on Twitch, we like to feel like we own it. But I've always said, you know, if the game makers wanted to take a cut of some of the biddies, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But there needs to be an established rule, a consistent rule, and something that's kind of like the accepted standard of who owns what. Because I also don't think the game company should own everything. You know, if we're making jokes and things like that, you know, and it's,
well, I think
some
whole,
of my content, like, how does that all play out?
I think a lot of the DMCA stuff needs to stop anyways, just because of how it's being abused. I mean, there was a thing this week about a channel that got taken down because a developer didn't like what they were saying about their game, and so they filed copyright strikes against their channel, which...
That's a YouTube problem. That's why we're on Twitch. Just not to be shady, but a little shady, but because... You know, it's just like YouTube does not stick up for their content creators.
Oh, no, not
never,
at all.
Ever. They always err on the side of ruling against them. Whereas I feel like, and maybe this is just my perception, but I do feel Twitch, and I'm not just kissing butt because we're here now, but I do feel Twitch does a better job of kind of sticking up and being a little more proactive for its user base in some of the things that they do, if that makes sense. Especially when it comes to things like their muting policy. I think, you know, it's fair. Like, they have to do what they have to do to be legal, and I think what they're doing is kind of fair. And if you, you know, challenge it, they have a process to look at it and all that stuff. Whereas I feel like YouTube just never errs on the side of the content creator, so why would I want to create content for YouTube? I'm really not motivated to do that. So, all right. Going to our chat. Run Jump Stomp reminds us Nintendo recently backed off about content creation. What's that?
See what you did?
Oh, yeah.
Now they clip that
yes,
shit.
Yes, I know. I need to be thinking about that. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. If the broccoli thing from our last radio only show had been on this, that would have gotten clipped like 5,000 times.
That actually got me thinking earlier this week. So
clips like help spread the show. Whatever.
I don't think I wanted to tell the kids where they're actually going.
No, you can't do it till the holidays.
So, yeah, I think we're not doing that.
I got it. Put a bunch of broccoli in a bowl, and then when they eat all the broccoli, there's a Disney logo at the bottom.
Well, they're never going to eat all the broccoli.
Well, then they're not going to Disneyland.
So my thought was, though, like, it would be cool to do, like, a mock Disney logo shirt, but just have it say Broccoli Farm in the Disney font, and then we can sell them to our listeners because they want merch anyways.
Would Disney sue, though?
It's a parody.
Okay, I don't know. Disney, all right. We'll see what we can do. If we the, it's the Mickey head is the hard part. But
no,
if
we
you
wouldn't
make,
put the Mickey head.
If you make it
broccoli.
Out of broccoli. Oh, okay.
It's all
okay.
Broccoli. It's oh, broccoli okay. In an actual farm, and then it just looks
all right.
Like...
All right. Leave that joke 2 weeks ago. Back to the Fortnite dances, Loki. So how do you see this ending?
I see it going to court, and we'll see if it actually... If they have a case or not.
I say settlement. These things always end in a settlement.
Yeah.
Fortnite is pooping out the dollars, and they're just going to pay it off to shut these guys down. But then what's that going to do for the future and, like, other games incorporating dances? Which I think, again, you know, I can see where it's a little bit of a problem when you're selling it in the store as an enhancement, or you're getting in the loot box as an enhancement. But, like, in World of Warcraft, it was just like, it was just kind of there. Like, it was a little bonus thing. It was a cute thing that they did. Saints Row, similar thing, right?
Yeah.
They just kind of,
it was just a
did
silly thing.
Exactly. It was a silly thing. Or, like, maybe if they want to have the dance, maybe they should at least, like, license the song, which I know for the Carlton, there's no real, I mean, we all know it goes with Tom Jones, you know, it's not, watch out or I'll do that dance too, but it's the whole Tom Jones, it's not unusual to be loved by you, which isn't really, but you know what I mean?
I know,
like,
what you mean.
A lot of times the dances go with a song.
Right.
So, like, you know, if you kind of, like, pay the money to get the song in your game, maybe you could use the dance too. But I think it's the whole fact that they are, like, selling the dance as a separate thing, and it's not just incorporated into the game as, like, a pop culture reference, which could probably be sold a little more as parody, I guess. I think that's where ultimately the legal law lines are kind of drawn a little bit. And Fortnite will just have to think of other things to sell. Either original dances, but we know that's not, like, aren't really going to buy original dances.
They have merch already. Like, I just bought my son a Fortnite 2019 calendar. And apparently they have characters or skins or something like that. Or, like, actual thing. Because I was asking him, like, so do they actually have characters in this game? Because I see this one's named Leviathan. And he's like, no, that's a skin. I'm like, okay.
Loki, they're yelling at me in chat because I won't do the Carlton. They're yelling at me at
chat. You don't have enough room. You're going to injure yourself. That is not.
That's what I could do with the space I was given.
That's not.
Oh,
even,
God, I'm having to watch it back.
Exactly. Witness the horror that is.
All right. Anyway. Let's move on. Let's talk about our gaming weeks. I want to talk about the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton. I think I've been busy shopping this week. I was, like, actually trying to reflect back to what I played, and it's been mainly just Pokemon Go. I've just been playing a little bit of that. I even forgot to do my stupid mystery box thing to get Melton, which is sucks because it was the double candy event thing, and that would have been really helpful if I had remembered to do it. I didn't end up doing that. And I don't think I played too much. It just, like, had to, like, a lot of plans kept changing. I had to go places, and so I wasn't able to do that. I did try to stream on Friday, and it ended up being an issue where I wanted to load a new mix on there. And I have, you know, a drive that's supposed to read that disc fine, and it did. But then when I went to actually load the game after I've installed it, it just wouldn't read the disc again. And so then I swapped drives out again to the one that I bought, a replacement drive that was supposed to be the most compatible with the disc. And it won't read anything now. So I had to put the old drive back in there. And I was just like, at that point, I was like, fuck it. It's too late. I'm just not doing it right now. So I have all the parts to build the Stepmania PC. I have everything now, so I just need to do it. I may end up doing that tomorrow. And then I also found out, like, I had an issue with, I was trying to figure out what theme I wanted to put on there, and my problem was that the menus were too laggy, and then I ended up finding out by trying to move my Stepmania install to my SSD drive.
Not laggy on an official mix, but laggy on your like Stepmania setup, right?
Laggy on my laptop.
Okay.
And
okay.
So it okay. was laggy. I mean, it should be fine altogether because Stepmania runs on like a toaster. So it was laggy in the sense that the menus were kind of lagging as I'm moving stuff around. Like there's a little bit of jitter with loading images or something. And I couldn't tell why that was. And I was trying to find a mix that was pretty smooth because I wanted to build off of it to do a custom theme. And so then I was like, hey, you know what? I wonder if it's this hard drive because I have a 5 terabyte 5400 RPM drive in there and then I have an SSD. I was like, well, let me put it on my SSD and see if that makes a difference. And oh, yep, that was the issue.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I have a 256 gigabyte NVMe drive, so that's about six times faster than an SSD. I mean, it's still technically an SSD, but it's 32 gigabits per second, so it'll be able to handle, it should be able to handle anything. So I'm thinking now I don't have to worry about the lag. I just will just pick something and go with that. But, like, I don't know.
I still need to come over and play DDR. I know I keep promising it. I did one of those dumb things I keep saying I'm never going to do again. I played one of those like online Big Brother type games. But this time, there were 32 people in it, and I got to the end. I'm in the final three. So finally, a little bit of like payoff, but I'm not going to win. I already know I'm not going to win. They're actually announcing the winner like in an hour. It's not going to be me. But so that's been taking up a lot of my time because I try to do a lot of chatting in the evening. It would be around a line to talk. Apparently, I didn't do enough, which is why I'm not going to win, but, you know, whatever. But I do definitely want to come by at some point and play on your machine because I need to get thin again.
Well, me too. I've been, like, kind of slacking. My diet's been slacking this week, and also, you know, the eating 12 breadsticks is not going to be helping me any, but I don't care. I want them. So I really do need to get back into it after the year, start of the year again. But I haven't really gained that much. I'm just kind of hovering in the same spot, like low 200s. So that's good. I'm not back like bouncing back up to 220 or something like that. So I just need to keep everything consistent and get back into DDR again.
So not to derail you too much, but Loki, it's literally been 3 minutes. And look, there's a GIF of what just happened. The OL Army works fast. And I am kind of embarrassed watching that, but whatever. What can you do?
Now all we need to do is turn...
Thanks, Run, Jump, Stomp.
Now all you need to do is turn that into an emoji or whatever. Like, you know how we do custom...
Oh, one of the Twitch emojis
One of the Twitch emojis.
When we get bitties?
Yeah.
I don't want to get sued, though. Isn't that like paying for a dance?
Let me put it this way. That Carlton dance was so not the Carlton dance that you'll be fine.
I couldn't remember the whole thing. I just know he does that thing with
It'll
his arm.
Fine.
Forget it. You didn't really want to see it anyway. All right. Anything else for your gaming week, Logie?
That was pretty much it. I didn't play Katamari, sadly, even though I have it. I did download my free copy of Lego Lord of the Rings, but I didn't play anything on PC. I probably will, though.
All right. Let me talk about my gaming week then. So I did play Katamari because Loki, good old friend, buddy, pal, bought me a Katamari Damacy reroll on PC. So I was kind of trying to decide, do I want it on PC so I can mod it? Or do I want it on Switch so I can take it on the go? And Loki made the decision for me. So thank you. I appreciate that.
You can always buy it again.
That's true. I could always buy it again.
Yeah.
Actually, we're already going to buy it twice because the minute I was like, oh, Loki, I kind of exclaimed, oh, Loki got me Katamari Damacy. And Alan on the other side of the green screen is like, wait a minute, that's on PC. I thought that was only on Switch. And I was like, no, it's on PC. And he's like, I'm opening Steam. So we already ended up buying two copies.
Well, yeah, I don't think it was on sale this week.
It's too soon with the sale.
Yeah, I've been trying to watch the Steam sales to see if there's anything interesting on there, but I've been not buying anything because anything I buy, it's like, I'm not going to play that. You know, it's like, yeah, I could buy Earth Defense Force 5, but am I really going to play that anytime soon? Probably not. So I just have to hold off and get Stepmania done. Mm-hmm. So then when Stepmania is done, and if I have any extra free time, I can go to actually doing game development again. instead of trying to develop a steam or a theme for Stepmania.
Let me quickly talk about Katamari Damacy Reroll, though. I didn't get to play a ton of it, but I did, you know, open it up, play through the tutorial, first couple stages. So it's the PlayStation 2 game, but now all redone in widescreen, I guess, would probably be the biggest change, because the original game was, what, 2002, 2003? It was right around when this show started, when that game first came out for the PlayStation 2. It is funny, and a lot of people are razzing it for this, is that it was a $20 budget game when it first came out for the PlayStation 2, but now they want, what, $40 for it, right?
30.
Oh, 30. Well, still, it's more than, you know, 20.
Yeah.
But it is... It is HD. It is all that stuff. So honestly, like, if you played the original, then you know exactly what you're going to get.
They rebuilt the engine, so they rebuilt it in Unity.
Loki, it's the same game. Yeah. It's the same game. They didn't really add a lot to it or anything. It's the same game, which isn't a bad thing. Like, and I realize since it's been, what, a good 13 years at least, I don't know, probably longer, since Katamari Damacy originally came out, like, there's probably a lot of people maybe in their 20s or so that didn't discover it when they were younger, and so now have a chance to discover it again. So if you've never played, like, any Katamari whatsoever, I think it's definitely worth checking out. And for somebody like me who hasn't had a chance to play it in a long time, I'm really into it. I have one minor bitch, though, about it, because this was like... What are they smoking type of thing? Okay, so you haven't opened yours on PC, right?
No, I haven't.
So here's the gag about the whole thing. So when you launch it, it comes up in a window that's 720p, which, okay, whatever. Like, where are my options to resize it or anything like that? You have to play through the tutorial, which includes the 5 centimeter to 10 centimeter, like the first introductory stage, before you get to that menu area where the game brings up a special splash screen that says... You really need to save your game right now, or you're going to have to do what you just did all over again next time you open the game. And I'm like, what? But all right.
Why?
So I said, weird ass design choices. I don't have a good explanation. But then once you finally do that, you can go in and finally change the display settings.
That's
so you
stupid.
Can play in 2K and, you know, all that. It will render in 4K. I don't know if that necessarily means it's using 4K textures, but the game will... play in a 4K window.
I think all the textures are pretty low res, aren't they?
Well, it's Katamari Damacy, you guys. It's not freaking, like, you know, Madden 4K sport event of the summer or something.
I keep seeing, like, you keep browsing the Steam forums for that game, and I see people running it on the GPD, the GPD, like, portable little computer thing that looks like a little handheld device. So that thing could run on a pretty low-end PC.
Yeah, no, but, well, you know, but of course they've beefed it up and everything. But it runs, I mean, I like to play a lot of my games in 2K because my graphics card is still a little, you know, I just do really 4K video and things like that. I mean, it looks really good. Once you get past the tutorial and all that, it looks good. But it's one of those design choices where you're like, Namco, what are you thinking? Like, that should have been, like, the first menu that comes up. Or... I mean, some games just have a separate little application, like Final Fantasy 13, I think,
well,
when they released
a lot
that,
of Unity,
has a separate app you run to configure it all, and then when you go in the game, it's all there. But I was like, what?
A lot of Unity games will have you just pop up the screen that actually shows, you know, here's some settings, and then you go into the game and stuff, but... Maybe they just didn't want people to know it was running in Unity?
I don't know. Or it's something to do with the lazy fucking port from the Switch or
something.
Oh,
yeah, or it could be that.
Because on the Switch... You wouldn't have to do any of that. The Switch has one mode to play that's probably 720. So that's probably, honestly, what it is. It's just lazy fucking porting from the Switch.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of have to read it a little bit. I mean, but don't get me wrong. The game's great, and you're only stuck in that mode for 5 minutes. But it's still one of those things that makes you go, guys, what a freaking, like, lazy, like, thing that you could have done better, right?
Yeah.
So it was just weird. But otherwise, I love Katamari. Other games that I've been playing this week include same old, same old. WoW, World of Warcraft, because they put out the new patch not that long ago. So the Warlock I had now can do stuff in Darkshore, which is like another, this means nothing to you, another
exactly.
zone where you can do more like daily quests and things like uh-huh. that. It's one of those things where I'm starting to get a little better at, I'll do that on screen A, and then on screen B, I'm watching this week's Drag Race, or I'm watching something I don't really need to watch. I just kind of listen to, like, maybe a talk show on cable or something. So I kind of just zone out and play WoW while I kind of absorb the information from whatever I'm watching. So I've been playing a little World of Warcraft like that, and a little bit of Final Fantasy as well. Shane and I were messing around in that game the other night because they have a winter event that I need to I need to do. We got sidetracked. He was farming.
Don't they have, like, the Blue Mage is coming soon?
Blue Mage, they dated Blue Mage January 13th, I think. Don't quote me on that. I think the patch was January 6th, and Blue Mage unlocks one week later on the 13th. So they're, because they just did their live letter for, like, explaining everything about this next patch and everything leading up to the next expansion. But what I was going to say is the winter event is supposed to be a music game thing. So I haven't really explored it yet, but they've done some really cute events. Like, they had one where you went into a dungeon, but it was like a holiday dungeon. I think that was like Halloween or something. You went into one of the scary mm-hmm. dungeons. You had to avoid ghosts or something. And then I know they had one that was like the old school dungeon crawler, meaning like think like Phantasy Star when you're in the first person dungeon, but it's those really rudimentary walls.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? Like Ultima 3 had them. I'm trying to think of other games that had them back in the day. But Phantasy Star is probably the best example of it. But they had one like that. But it was really easy to play because you would see that, but you would see like a map right next to it. It's just like you were navigating a maze with your arrow keys, basically. Hmm. So they did something like that. But I like it when they do like super cute things like that. My favorite, not to get too off base, my favorite holiday thing they've ever done in Final Fantasy 14 was, I think it was the third anniversary of the game. They did an anniversary event, and as part of the event, you would teleport to this magical place that was basically a workshop where you interacted with the developers of the game. And they kind of, you know, there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek type of stuff, but there was one, you talk to a character that basically represents it. It's called, like, Yoshi P or something like that, which is Yoshida, who's the director or producer of the game. And basically, he says, like, the character says something like, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but we know that it was a rough road the first couple years, and we want to thank you so much for sticking with us, and you know, we're going to tell all these new stories, and you're here to, and I was like, that was just, like, it's just like a really nice thing. It was a very humble type of move, because you know, I think there's a lot of awareness around Square Enix about how bad the first version of Final Fantasy 14 bombed.
But that was like so long ago.
And that's where my head's at. Is I'm like, that was so long ago at this point. Like, forgiven, forgotten, because the game is like way better
now.
Wasn't
it like 2014?
Before that. No, maybe you're right. Maybe it was 2014. I mean, we're on our, let's see. Shadowbringers is 2019. Stormblood was 2017. Heavensward 15. So Realm Reborn was 2013. So the original Final Fantasy 14 was around 2011, I think, when that first came out. So,
I think we can just give them a break now, considering it's like, you know, look at how some of these other games have launched. Yeah. I think you have a pass.
Yeah, I think they have a pass. And right now, I mean, I don't know, like, you got to read everything on Reddit with a grain of salt, but I do look at the Final Fantasy 14 Reddit once in a while, and there's a lot of people that are posting, like, hi, I'm really pissed off at Blizzard right now, so I'm coming over to Final Fantasy 14 from WoW, and oh my god, I love this game. I've been sleeping on it so long and all this stuff. And to be fair, I mean, I'm not trying to like bash World of Warcraft, because here I am, where I'm like, I've been playing 14 for so long, like I need to see other people for a little bit. So I'm like, I remember this game I used to flirt with. So I went back to World of Warcraft, and since I haven't played it seriously in so long, I'm like, I'm kind of into this right now. Like, this is something I haven't seen in a long time, you know? And so I feel like I don't want to say I'm on the opposite side of the fence, because I truly, truly appreciate what both games bring to the table. But to bring it back to something you said earlier in the show in the beginning about like articles that fill this time of year and all the clickbait stuff, lot of like what is happening at Blizzard type of articles going up. Has Activision killed Blizzard? Has Activision hurt Blizzard? And like, you know, outlining like all of the weird things that Blizzard has done this year, obviously Diablo Immortal, but now this Heroes of the Storm thing we got into last week has a lot of people feeling raw. Apparently it's already affecting the game. You try to go in there and look for matches and it's taking longer and longer because people are just like, well, if they're done, so am I, peace out, you know, type of thing. And then World of Warcraft, not everybody's really happy with the expansion. I mean, maybe it's because I kind of didn't really play a lot of last one, but I'm like, I'm into this expansion, whatever. Like, I'm not interested in raiding or endgame stuff, but as a dirty, filthy casual, it's cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, has Activision like fucked Blizzard beyond repair? And a lot of that talk going on. So it's kind of interesting, I suppose. So, going to chat at Twitch TV and VOG Network. Renji221 over there says, you talk about games coming back from a bad launch. I think No Man's Sky is another good example. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it joins a club with Diablo 3, in my opinion. I mean, even though we talk, you know, about Diablo Immortal, part of the reason why Blizzard wanted to take that template for Diablo 3 and make it a mobile game is because Diablo 3 was saved. But remember, when Diablo 3 first came out, But Final Fantasy 14, you know, is another great example of that. So, yeah, we do live in this really interesting era where video games can be saved. Some people would argue Destiny 2 is in this club as well. Is that when Destiny 2 kind of first launched?
Yeah,
some problems, but it's come a long way.
Very rough.
Yeah.
But a lot of that has to do with just being non-transparent with your users or just changing shit and, oh, now that you discovered it, I guess we should tell you about it. And it's like, fuck that shit, you know? I don't know. They're trying, I guess. But, like, Destiny, I've never been able to get on board with that game. And it sounded cool, but I was like, eh.
I should probably revisit it. I mean, I do own Destiny 2. I bought it when it first came out.
Well,
because they gave it away not that long ago. So hopefully y'all pick that up because that's done now. But even if you didn't, you can still get the base game, like, super cheap because they really want to sell you the expansion. They don't really want to sell you the base game anymore. That's why they want to make their money off the expansion.
They want to sell you the in-game currency.
And all that stuff, too. And Carlton dances or whatever. Anyway, also in our Twitch chat, DJ Rama S says, Blizzard has become complacent. Some people are arguing that a little bit, too. Some people are saying that that's the pressure Activision is putting on them, is that Blizzard's not putting out games fast enough. But I mean, the Blizzard formula has worked with them for so long. When they do put things out, most of the time, it's really, really good. Diablo 3 was an exception. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
We'll have to see what the next big thing is.
I still think Blizzard does better than a lot of people. But, like, look at Overwatch. Like, Overwatch is a game changer in so many ways. And people forget. Like, Blizzard also made Overwatch. That is a game that's been out for quite some time. People still talk about it. It is changing the landscape of esports as we know it, right? So you can't say that Blizzard is just doing nothing but fucking up. There's a lot they're getting right, too. And I think Overwatch is the best example of that in a lot of ways. But that's just my opinion. Which, by the way, is something else I played this week. Overwatch. I saw so many friends of mine streaming Overwatch that I was like, I need to get in there and play some Overwatch. And you know, I've been missing out. And I haven't done any of the holiday event. Well, now I have. But I hadn't at that point done like any of the holiday event. I need to get some of the loot boxes and all that good stuff. So, and I love every match right now has that new Ashe in it, the one that Jennifer Hale voices, the cowgirl. Mm-hmm. And just like every minute or so, you just hear Bob, because that's her ultimate, is what she calls Bob in. So you just hear, like, you'll hear it from across the map, Bob. And it sounds like this is obscure, but have you ever seen the YouTube clip of like the husband calling contest at the state fair where the old ladies get on stage and they're calling their husbands? That's what it sounds like. Somebody out there's got to know what I'm talking about. But that's what it sounds like to me when Ash calls Bob from down the hallway or whatever. ActDef says Overwatch is kind of screwing up too with some things. Ooh, I'd love for you to elaborate on that, ActDef. Bobby Blackwolf says, what can't join this club? Mass Effect Andromeda. Wow. Way to kill my mood. Thanks a lot for that, jerk. All right. Anyway. Spyro says, I played Overwatch last night. It's pretty fun. Yeah, I'm still a fan. Bobby Blackwell says, I watched the holiday event. It was a lot of Yetis falling off cliffs. I haven't really played, like, there's a whole thing with May and Winston and all that stuff. I haven't really got into that or played that really. So yeah, I don't know. Anyway. All right, let's move on. I'll try to get, if I can work it in later, I'll get ActDev's follow up on the Overwatch thoughts, but, I want to get into the news. So let's get to it. Loki, not a lot of news this week. This is, in a normal week, I'm going to be honest, in a normal week, I don't think I'd want to give this site any attention, to be quite honest. I think we know this site is shady, right? This site is shady. And
yes.
So now we're hearing some other shady stuff.
Yeah, so apparently G2A, who wasn't very legit to begin with, I mean, a lot of people dealing with like stolen keys or just all sorts of thievery and stuff. Well, now, apparently, they said that they are charging users for 180 days of inactivity. So if you haven't logged into your G2A account for 180 days, you'll be charged £1. and it'll be taken from the G2A wallet.
A dollar, essentially.
Yeah,
$1. If you want to convert it into, you know, our money.
And then apparently they said, you know, there's going to be an email sent 3 days before the charge to remind users to log in to void the fee. And if there's no funds in the wallet, then they won't charge anything. It's basically their reasoning for this. They said it costs money to upkeep accounts. Bullshit. This includes server maintenance, IT infrastructure. Come on, you guys. It's data in a fucking table. It's bullshit. As a supervised financial institution, we must meet many requirements related to the monitoring service of each account. Really? There's monitoring?
They're a finance. See, that's the thing. I've heard of banks charging this kind of thing. Like if you don't have enough money in savings or something like that, checking, or you're not having enough deposited, that's when they charge you like that monthly service fee or whatever, right? But that's a bank. That's not some shady website that's stolen you, or I shouldn't, allegedly stolen you keys from other places, you know, or whatever, and turning around and reselling them and that whole sort of thing. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a bank. You know what I mean? It's a very different
just
type of thing.
Just don't do business with them. Just make it easy.
Yeah. So, but
shitty company is still shitty.
I was going to ask, well, how would you feel if somebody like Steam enacted a law like, or a rule like this? But they're not going to.
That won't be a problem because I'm always logged in the Steam. So, eh. I can't think of anybody that would have to charge me that because,
Yeah, I know. It's like I still try to log into Steam once a week to just maintain my trading card eligibility, which I couldn't tell you the last time I've had a pack of trading cards dropped. Do people even still do the trading card thing on Steam anymore?
I got a pack.
I never get
them. It was
them.
In my box. I just sold off a bunch of the cards that you get for doing your Game of the Year awards or whatever.
For 3 cents.
You vote. Yeah, so yeah. You get that.
Woo, 3 cents.
So, yeah, I'm selling. In fact, I've been getting a ton of email notifications because I've been selling cards because I'm like, I don't give a shit about these cards. I'm not, you know, doing anything with them. I'm just gonna sell them because people are dumb enough to buy them,
right?
And so, you know, I like a dollar.
Run Jump Stomp in our chat over at VOG Network on Twitch says, how is this legal? A lot of, you know, when I first read it, I was like, wait a minute, isn't that illegal? But I'm thinking of the gift card thing, so I don't know if this is true in every state, but like gift cards in California cannot decrease in value if they're inactive.
And they can't expire either.
And they can't expire or anything like that. The only way you can get screwed on those is if the company goes under. Like if you have a Kohl's card or
Borders.
Something. Radio Shack. You have a Radio Shack gift card.
Twice
like,
or us.
You're fucked at this point. Like there's nothing you can do. You can try and take it to the bankruptcy court or something. Honestly, like usually there's a period of time that you can use it with the liquidator and then that's it. It's done. So that's really the only way you can kind of get screwed out of those gift cards that the company goes under. But otherwise, like if you find a Best Buy gift card in your couch from like 2004 and it's got $15 on it, Best Buy has to honor it. So that's at least in California. I don't know about other states and all their laws. I know there's other states that have similar laws. But unfortunately, this isn't exactly a gift card, I guess. And G2A, I'm sure, can't even be based in the states as it is, hence why it's €1. We all know it's a little bit shady because they're probably not running in the U.S. They're probably running in a more friendly country to some of the things they do.
Yeah.
Sadly, that law wouldn't apply over there, and you're kind of dealing with international
just
weird issues anyway.
Them.
Yeah. Also, then Run Jump Stop says, I don't get how companies can change the terms of service after the fact. Unfortunately, they do it all the time.
It's in their terms of service that they can change the terms of service.
It is that. But, like, you know, sometimes you launch Steam. Like, just watch. Next time you launch Steam, like, after a couple weeks, it might say, you need to accept our newest update before we can get into it. And you have to scroll through and agree again. And a lot of games with persistent online worlds and things like that will do that. Some of them will be nice and tell you, like, in very plain words, here's what we changed. Like, I want to say Discord. I talk good about them a lot. They do something like this. And because they phrase it in a funny way, like, here, for a normal human being, here is what we have changed in the thing. And then you get the full legal language underneath it. You know what I mean? But companies, I guess, don't always do that kind of thing. So, you know, technically, when you scroll down a degree, technically, you're accepting it. But I've still seen class action lawsuits and all that stuff happen anyway.
Yeah.
Like when PlayStation had a class action lawsuit, even though I believe it is in their terms of service, you agreed to arbitrate or something like that. Like, it doesn't. it doesn't stop a lot of that stuff from happening.
Yeah.
If a lawyer wants to take the case, they'll try it. So, let's see. Going to chat for some more comments. Bobby Blackwell says it needs to get up to the courts, and unfortunately, nobody has the money to keep fighting all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has never heard a case involving a software terms of service. Very interesting. I guess that's true. The last big Supreme Court case I can think of involving games, I'm sure there's been others. The one that comes to mind is the one here in California where it was Schwarzenegger, the governor at the time, versus, I forget the name, but it was that whole thing about the mature games being sold at GameStop.
Right.
They had checked the ID. The Supreme Court struck it down because there was no consistent measure about what made a mature game, basically. It was turning into a matter of opinion.
Are nipples being shown? Yes. Mature game.
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know, brings that whole thing into who's to say what's mature for you versus what's mature for me. Like, some people might allow their kids to hear the F word and the S word, but would never want them to see a boob. But some of it is complete vice versa. Like, a boob's a boob, and, you know, but I don't want you using the F word. And right. That's really up to a parent to decide.
Run, Jump, Stomp says that Mario has nipples.
Yes.
That. And he is very mature.
Mamma mia. All right. Anyway. So, yeah, I won't be using G2A anytime soon. I hope this is the type of thing that just kind of stays with them and their weird kind of business practices. But, yeah, I'm not going to be exactly going over there to use their services anytime soon. And I imagine you guys probably won't either. So let's move on to our next story that has to do with Microsoft and their All Access offer. The All Access offer was the subsidized Xbox One bundle that was available at certain Microsoft stores. And
which we don't have any nearby, unfortunately.
No. Well, I mean, there's one in the Bay Area, which I've been to a few times.
It looked kind of cool. I wanted to...
They're nice stores.
I haven't been in the one, but I did want to actually...
You know what's funny about those stores, though? I swear to God, the last time I was in the one in San Francisco, it was in that super nice mall, like, kitty corner from the Metreon.
Yeah.
It's in where the movie theater is. It's in there. It's up on the third floor. The last time in there, I swear to God, every computer, everything... It was Fortnite. Everybody was playing fucking Fortnite.
What?
On the Xboxes, on the laptops.
Fortnite.
They were probably playing each other.
No Forza, no Minecraft.
Well, like, they would have a computer up front that was running Forza that nobody was playing, which is a crime because Forza is great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Fortnite. That's all they were demoing on all those computers. But anyway, the Microsoft Store, obviously, there's a lot in common with the Apple Store. A little competition head-to-head there. It's very well lit. Very, you know, lots of people.
It's the hangout. Everyone goes to hang out there.
It is. But anyway, so you could get this all-access deal at these stores. You would be in a two-year agreement, and you could get an Xbox One or an Xbox One X for kind of like a lower or cheaper price. And then you get Xbox Live Gold and the Game Pass. And that's a big deal because the Game Pass is the, like, Netflix of Xbox games, basically, which, you know, is one of those things that I think is just going to get bigger and bigger as we move into 2019.
It's a great
service. 2020. I mean, it is, and I'm really curious. I really suspect when we start talking about PlayStation 5 and Nintendo, I feel like they won't get on the bandwagon until later. They're like kind of doing it with the Switch Online, the classic libraries, like, you tried that whole type of thing, but I would be very curious to see what Sony's going to do to respond to this, like, with PlayStation 5, because I think it's going to be something that's built into PlayStation 5.
Yeah, like, I looked at the classic library. In fact, I was going through there, and it's like, here's the new games. I'm like, that's nice, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, Microsoft is ending this program on December 31st, 2018, so the all-access bundle will be ceased at the Microsoft retail location. So you still have a little bit of time for this. But what's interesting about this, Microsoft isn't saying that this is going away forever. It's just going away for now, because this whole thing was a test to see if this whole thing was going to be viable in the first place. So, but they're already kind of hinting it's coming back, so I would assume, yes, it's viable.
They seem to offer it in more places other than the Microsoft store.
Well, there's that, and I wonder if Microsoft isn't going to let it go to sleep and hibernate for a little while and then bring it back. When, Loki? When do they bring it back? E3, because the floor is virtually theirs and theirs alone at E3 this next year. So they could unveil the new pass, and wouldn't it be great if they had a discless console or something? I mean, I'm fan-wanking here, but wouldn't it be something if Microsoft had some type of new console to go with this whole thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
discless console. We'll see.
We'll see.
Or, if it's cheaper, maybe.
Or their new console. Maybe they're going to do something with that. I don't know, in this whole thing. Because I think Microsoft really wants to push this Game Pass thing. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I think E3 would be really the time to see about that. So anyway, I mean, it was a contract plan, but it wasn't like... It wasn't shady. Like, I do think overall it was a decent deal if it's what you wanted, if it worked for you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, it's a decent deal. Looking in chat over at VOG Network on Twitch TV, Runchum Stomp suggests that Nintendo will do it sometime in 2030. Yes. Maybe for the Switch 2, Switch U, or whatever they end up doing next.
I gotta tell you, like, their stuff, that is the hardest thing about Nintendo consoles, is their stuff does not depreciate in value. According to them, they don't drop the prices of anything, because, like, Mario Kart 7, I remember purchasing that when that first came out. It's still full price.
You know, it's Wii U games in particular are now getting more expensive because Nintendo is essentially like just put them all on a boat, set it out to sea, and set the boat on fire, metaphorically. Nintendo is like has cut ties with Wii U at this point. So it's kind of driving the Wii U game prices up at this point, because now it's like they're collector's items. Because how many people really ever like had the Wii U and the Wii U's? It's interesting how that's all playing out.
It is.
Because I was looking at some of the, like, I'll see the eBay ads come up online. I'm like, why are these games selling for like $60, $65? Oh, because Nintendo isn't making them anymore. So if you want to get them, this is like the only way to do it.
It's ridiculous.
A little bit. But, you know, a lot of rare game consoles, this kind of thing tends to happen, right? We can go all the way back to like the Sega Saturn, the Dreamcast, PlayStation. I mean, heck, probably a Black Band Final Fantasy VII or Suikoden 1 or 2. Those still go for, Suikoden 2, I think, still goes for a lot of money, doesn't it? So, I mean, less than it did before it came out on the PlayStation Classics, but I think as a collectible, those things still make a lot of money, if I'm not mistaken. So, Bobby says, if I didn't have a bandwidth cap, I'd be all over Xbox Game Pass. Yeah, I mean, that is something they may have to address, maybe cut a deal with the cable providers. I think the bandwidth caps are going to have to start to give a little bit as more and more people really start to push back against the cable providers. I think just as we get more 4K streaming, I think market demand is going to force those caps up. I do think that'll have to happen.
They'll just put laws in place that'll eliminate bandwidth caps, and then they'll throttle instead.
Yeah, well, I don't think they can now, because certain states kind of danced around the net neutrality thing, and like California passed a stronger thing, and it's going to be interesting now that the House is going back to blue. I don't know politically if that can be countered now at this point, or what the deal is going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. I don't know. I'm not going to get into politics that much, but it would be interesting to see how the net neutrality thing keeps going. And a few folks in chat talking about the net neutrality thing. But remember now states, because California is like, oh, hell no to what, you know, the FCC did and all this. So now there's going to be that fight. And y'all know, this being the good old US of A, it ain't going to be solved overnight. There's going to be a new president. No matter which team it is, there's going to be a new president before this thing is solved. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to go on for years. So we'll see. I really feel like what's ultimately going to happen is probably like some other FCC guy is going to come in there and strike the whole thing before the legal courts and all this like ends up ultimately figuring it out. Because that's the way things tend to run, in my opinion. So anyway, let's move on with some more gaming news. Loki.
So there's this indie game, Celeste, that's actually been selling very well. They've sold 500,000 copies. It's been, I think it...
Good job.
Even got like Indie Game of the Year or something like that. Yeah, I know during the Game Awards.
Yeah, Game Awards got some good stuff. I have friends that really love that game.
But anyways, with that though, Matt Torson, the creator of the game, basically said, you know, that, hey, we're working on some farewell levels that are going to be ready in 2019. They're very hard, and we'll be announcing what's going to be next for us in the years as well. Also with that, they're saying that the soundtrack has sold 6,000 copies across all platforms, been streamed on Spotify 4 million times. And
I didn't even know it was on Spotify.
Yeah. And if you haven't picked up a copy of Celeste yet, well, guess what? If you happen to have Xbox Live Gold, then you're going to be getting that as one of your free games with gold in January. So it's going to be Celeste for the month of January for Xbox One. And then for the 16th through February 15th, it will be WRC. And then on Xbox 360, you're getting Lara Croft Guardian of Light and Far Cry 2.
Those are some good picks, too.
Yeah.
A Guardian of Light, it's a little bit old at this point, but that was a good game. That was a good co-op puzzler thing. But yeah, I'm now I'm from a consumer standpoint, I'm kind of happy I slept on Celeste now that I can get the free copy on Xbox, but I know the developer doesn't make as much money when you do it that way, but they have sold 500,000 copies, and you know, Celeste is on like a million different platforms. If I like it that much, I'll probably end up double dipping and getting
it on Switch
too.
It'll probably come out on Sony's platforms as well. So
I thought Celeste already was on Sony's platforms
as a free game.
Oh no, not as a free game.
No, I think you know, usually when it's free on one, it becomes free on the other.
Eventually, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. That's very true. So yeah, I need to check out Celeste. It's one of those games that's like supposed to be like bang your head on the wall hard, but it's a lot of fun. So yeah I need to. It's just one of those games. There's only so many hours in the day to play games, especially when it's not the job you get paid to do all day long. So, yeah, gotta have to pick that up at some point. So, anyhow, and some folks in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork absolutely agree. And RunJumpStomp says, if these are very hard, I wonder how he would classify the other levels as far as difficulty goes. Ain't that the truth? Because my understanding is the game is kind of hard to begin with anyway. So, anyhow. Let's move on and talk about another thing that's been circulating the blogs, and that is this whole update to Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4, which is a game a lot of people are enjoying. And people were saying, "Hey, when are we gonna get the Spider-Man suit from the Tobey Maguire starred movies, or the Sam Raimi, if you will, movies? From what? When was the first one of those? Like 2002, 2003, when that whole trilogy started." Somewhere in the aughts, the early aughts, somewhere when that series started, and people really wanted that Spider-Man suit to the extent that they were like doing social media campaigns and Reddit posts and all this crap online to, like, I don't want to say bully Insomniac Games into doing it, but it kind of was. Like, I mean, like, back off, Jesus. You know what I mean? Well,
it's like we've given you all the other suits.
I know. Like, well, or first off, the game is pretty fucking good. Isn't that the most important thing? Like, do you really, like, I can't believe a bunch of mostly boys are complaining about dress up online. I mean, really? Jesus. Anyway, but the Sam Raimi suit, it did end up coming out. Now, before we, because I'm sure I'm not looking at chat at the moment, but I'm sure it's going to light up with this before then. I don't see this as them giving in to demands, because to get an agreement like this takes time and agreements and paper, and somebody had to design that suit for the game. So this was a weeks, if not months, long process that was probably on some original design document a long time ago about post-launch follow-up thing. Like, this was in the works for a long time. But unfortunately, now people have the perception of, yay, we won! We complained, we bitched, we cyberbullied, and we got what we wanted.
We changed Mass Effect's ending, and then we added... a suit to Spider-Man.
So it's kind of unfortunate that there is the perception that this type of behavior works, because Loki, I don't understand. Why do, and it is kind of an issue with gamers. I mean, I don't know. Do film buffs do this too? I don't know.
I don't even
it's
know why.
It's an issue with gamers that they bitch and bitch and bitch because games have DLC and because games can be changed after the fact.
To be honest with this game, I don't even know why.
Why is it gamer culture that fucking does this?
Because they have the comic book suit in there that's pretty awesome, because it's all done in like the comic book print style and everything, and it looks like, you know, it makes everything kind of like hyper real because it's so, you know, comic booky. But I don't know. I don't know why people are bitching about the one specific suit. If you showed me like a bunch of Spider-Man suits, I wouldn't be able to point out which one is the Sam Raimi suit. So maybe I am not the target demographic.
No.
I still haven't played the game, and it looks awesome, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. Like, am I really going to figure out the subtleties of the Spider-Man suit and all that stuff? Probably not. I don't know.
It could be worse. It could be like the, you know, Joel Schumacher Spider-Man suit where giant nipples are on it instead, you know, but...
Tiger Claw chat says, yeah, Sonic fans are complaining about the silhouette of that Sonic the Hedgehog movie poster and want Paramount to fix the design.
Yeah, but
that's a little different. Here's why it's different. Because it's not a game. It's a game's representation in film, when games do not have the best track record of moving to film. Some have been okay, like the original Mortal Kombat. Tomb Raider's done all right, you know, both Angelina Jolie and the new one.
I think, like, the peak, the Pokemon.
I love Silent Hill.
Detective Pikachu looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love Silent Hill. But you know, Resident Evil, I mean, was a huge, I mean, even though the game's influence is not I mean, what?
It's a garbage movie. But
it's a popcorn
it's
movie.
It's a fun popcorn movie.
A lot of
movie.
Gore fans really like that type of stuff. Scary movie people love
that
stuff.
I saw one. I didn't really watch any of those movies. I saw one in the middle. I don't remember which one it is. It literally didn't matter. But, like, it was just entertaining. It was stupid. I knew nothing. I mean, it's like, there's zombies. Okay, I see the tie. Oh, and there's Wesker. Okay, cool.
It's just group of humans that get picked off one by one in hideous
and
ways.
And somehow we're the Matrix now. I don't know. It's weird.
But, I mean, but there's a lot of, okay, but we know there's a lot of bad movies too, right? Like, I got two words for you. Uwe Boll. Okay? Remember that guy's name? Right?
Or even more recent, Rampage.
That was a choice. But anyway, with that whole thing. So what my point is, we don't often see games represented very well in film. So now it's like you're taking this fucking icon. Sonic the Hedgehog is a icon, not just of video gaming, but like of our youth, especially if like in your 30s and 40s. Heck, even your 20s, you still know who Sonic is. That was a character that's always
just
been around.
Think about the Mario Brothers movie.
Well,
think about how
that was also
imagine
that was
that
also
now.
An issue. Yeah,
I mean that. It's
oh
just,
my god,
that is just like what the fuck is that? Where did you get that from? This, I mean, I don't understand that. But in the Sonic thing, it's like
So it's different, and I'm never for like bullying or you know telling people to hurt themselves or horrible things about them and their families like that. That type of behavior on social media is garbage. I know none of you engage in that, but if you're even thinking about it, don't. But I'm all for sass. Just a little sass, right? We get just a little constructive sass, a little tongue-in-cheek sass is fine. And so when I do see some of these, like that poster of Sonic's legs up in the, like, it looks freaking filthy for one, but Sonic's legs up in the air on the Golden Gate Bridge, that whole thing, like, that needs to be sassed. You know what I mean? Like, it looks weird. So, what?
It's just like, I don't know. They're complaining in chat, but also they're saying Double Dragon is the movie that gives Nightmare Cybers. See, you have to understand, that point in the 90s when they were making, or even, like, I should say the 80s, it was just like everything is Judge Dredd, or all of the movies that come out, they're all like this post-apocalyptic future movie. Like, that's why Mario Brothers is like that. It's like, it's fucking Judge Dredd. You know, even Double Dragon's post-apocalyptic. I don't know. None of them, they were so loose. They just wanted an excuse to make this type of movie. And so they got a property that they can kind of sort of pull in that direction, and that was it.
AJ Twist at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I had high hopes for Sonic after the Detective Pikachu trailer, then the poster happened. Yeah, that Detective Pikachu trailer, that caught me off guard in a different way. Like, I was not ready to see, like, a real Jigglypuff or that whole thing. But I'm curious. Like, that one, I'm not going to sass that. I'm curious. I still wish it was Danny DeVito, but I got to let it go. I'm curious about that movie for sure. Tiger Claw says, I hope the movie embraces the absurdity of Sonic being in the real world. You know what? If the movie is self-aware, if it's like the Twitter account and it's tongue-in-cheek, and like Renji221 points out, Jim Carrey is playing Eggman.
I am going to see it day one.
If
just
they let
because
Jim
of that.
Carrey be Jim Carrey, then maybe it'll be like Showgirls funny. You know what I mean? So bad it's kind of good. John Waters film. John Waters Sonic movie. Things I never knew I needed. Oh my god, that would be the best.
That would be so fucking weird.
Oh man. Anyway, if you don't know who John Waters is, like, just cinematic trash masterpiece. His most mainline thing was Hairspray, like the original one in the 80s with Divine. Not after they made it a musical, and we're not going to talk about John Travolta. I was hideous, but the musical is still pretty good. And I think they did a live one on NBC or one of those networks a couple of years ago, and it was mm-hmm. all right, too. So, anyway. yeah, and some folks in chat are saying, I'll wait for a trailer for Sonic, and I'm waiting. We'll wait. But you got to sass those posters just a little bit, I think. Just a little bit. All right, anyway, let's do a couple more stories, then we'll get to the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
So, unfortunately, you know, with some of these older systems, they're just not getting updates anymore. I know Grand Theft Auto 5 was doing that with the Xbox 360 PS3 versions. Now, the same thing's going to happen to Minecraft. Unfortunately, Minecraft on PlayStation 3, Vita, and Wii U are getting their final updates. I didn't see Xbox 360 mentioned there, so I don't know if they quit that earlier or if they're still going to be updating the 360 version, but I know it's basically the same thing. So the final console update apparently is coming, and says will be actually, it's already out. So they updated that on the December 19th, and it's adding a Nightmare Before Christmas mashup pack. And that's it. You're done. You want to play Minecraft now? You can go play the
but
Java.
Now you can be Jack Skellington. Yay.
Play it on Windows 10. Honestly, though, if you really want to keep up with like current stuff, Windows 10 and the Java versions aren't bad. Like, surprised how good it is. No 4K pack, though.
Tons of people playing it on Switch, too.
Switch, too, yeah.
Obviously, with the portability and just the success that the Switch has been, it's a huge console for Minecraft, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, how many people? I mean, well, I'm sure there's, like, kids and, you know, not every home can upgrade. Not everybody's in this, you know, financial place where they can just willy-nilly upgrade.
You don't really need to, though. I mean, it's nice to have the new stuff, but, like, it's also, I mean, I remember playing Minecraft when they didn't have all the new stuff in there, and it was just, it was fine the way it was.
Yeah.
I want to go back and play, but it's just, it gets so boring.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing really to do in the game. I mean, you can survive and stuff, but then it's just like, it gets boring.
I still want to do the VOG network server, but then we got sidetracked with this whole move to Twitch and my knack of getting sucked into MMOs. And it wasn't just the OLR move to Twitch, but I think we just started like streaming more on Twitch in general. And it was kind of like that thing kind of, and then you got your machine and that whole Minecraft thing fell on the back burner. But maybe that's a 2019 thing we need to bring back. You know what? We'll do a VOG Minecraft when Microsoft puts out the frickin' 4K pack. Finally. That'll give me a reason to go back and check it out. That's for sure. So,
or even just like with mods now, like I finally figured out how to do Minecraft Forge, which is their modded client that you can use for the Java version. It makes like loading mods with like visual changes easier. I just setting up the servers and stuff and keeping that stuff running was really hard. That's all.
Runjun Stomp in chat points out, I'd love it if they brought modded stuff to consoles. Well, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Well, they
but then they can't sell it.
No, they can, and they are. So they are doing like mods sort of with the console versions. You can buy these different updates, but it's not changing much within like the console space. It's not like, you know, adding like guns. I mean, you can sort of do that, but it's very basic is what I'm trying to say. But if you go in any of the modern Minecraft versions, they have a storefront where you buy skins that people make, or you can buy mods to the game that changes like just how stuff sort of behaves, and you can even create your own. But it's not as robust as like what you can do on the PC, where you can just kind of keep adding shit to it, and you can put Pokemon in there and all this crazy shit.
Yeah,
it's more of like, oh, I can change the creeper to, you know, look like this, and now it acts like this. You know, give a different AI behavior.
You think they'll ever do a Minecraft 2? Or you think they're just going to stick on the original forever and ever and ever?
Yeah, I think they'll eventually update it. It's money.
It is money. All right, speaking of money, there's one game that's making a lot of it, that's for sure. It's Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I mean, duh, right? Like, I'm about to tell you the Super Smash Bros. Broke sales record. It's, like, most obvious news story of the year, I'm sure. But let's talk about it anyway. 3 million units in 11 days. That's a big deal.
That's pretty good.
Like, I remember back in the day when, like, a million sold was, like, a runaway, like, hit. Now, granted, a game like, I think, like, Wii Sports, but I don't know how you count that because that was bundled in with the Wii. But even something like Tetris, I think those games sold, like, 40 million. Like, it's up and up. But still, 11 days, 3 million, that's a really good start. In fact, it makes it the fastest-selling Switch game so far. And, of course, Nintendo put out a press release to brag about this whole thing, that the Switch sold 8.7 million consoles between the launch in March 2017 and November 2018. So it is now the fastest-selling console of the generation. That's what Nintendo's saying. And they're also saying Nintendo is the top-selling publisher of fiscal 2018. Digital eShop sales are up 105% in 2017 over 2018. And yeah, lots of good statistics too. Pokemon Let's Go, also a million seller. Super Mario Party, also a million seller. So they're they're doing pretty well over there at the Switch. But I don't think that news really surprises anybody. But it is kind of neat just to hear like how much that is. That game, Super Smash, sold fast. And do you think it's really going to be the last one they ever make?
No.
No, they got it. I wonder if they're going to, you know, allow the director of the game to go make new stuff. You know what I mean? Sakurai.
Just have someone else put... You can't tell me that one person can only make a fighting game. I mean...
Yeah.
Just have other people do it.
I want Sakurai to do another Kid Icarus game. I want that franchise to come out.
I would like,
I want him to do whatever the fuck he wants. He's
earned it. Honestly, I wish PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale would come back.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that bad of a game.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play it, though, so I could be wrong. But I have it free. It's in my library somewhere. It's just, I would love that on PlayStation 4 because I like the idea of, like, mixing two different stages together and having them, like, kind of battle it out and stuff in there, like, really obscure stuff. You know, like, Patapon versus, like, God of War creatures or some ridiculous crap. I think they could have made it work, but... Yeah.
But Smash Brothers is so good, and it's just, it's not as, I actually played that too this week. I forgot to talk about it in my game of the week, but I mean, that's just a given. Making a little progress in the world of spirits and all that stuff. So it's just a fantastic game. It's really a must have if you're a Switch owner, unless you just know it is not your type of game. Like otherwise, I really can't recommend that game enough. Run Jump Stomp says, Sakurai said no new Kid Icarus for like 25 years. Well, that's a bummer because I love that series. Well, from him, maybe somebody else can do one.
Well,
I don't know.
The Kid Icarus game that he released last, I mean, was that very good?
It was. I liked it, but it was a departure. Mm. It just didn't feel the same as the original. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Kid Icarus. Like I would like something that's Kid Icarus, but like that 3D Metroid they made that was a remake of the second game, but it was like totally different. In
oh, yeah,
ways.
The 3DS?
Yeah, like I would like that with Kid Icarus. Like, especially if Nintendo is going to insist on the 3DS still being around, I would like to see, like, a 2D Kid Icarus there with, like, some of the difficulty, maybe some ways to cheese it when it gets really hard. You know, the dungeon exploring I really loved in Kid Icarus. The music was always fabulous. I love the Greek mythology, cute, you know, way they do that. And the Eggplant Wizard is a great character that needs to shine again, right? So, there you go. I think
is he an assist trophy in the game?
I'm sure he's got to be. He's not a character. That's the sad thing. But Palutena is, and Pit and Dark Pit. And I'm most positive Eggplant Wizard is a spirit, if nothing else, because those trophy things are kind of gone. It's all the spirit stuff now. So I'm almost positive Eggplant Wizard is one of those. So anyway, I love Kid Icarus, but every week here on the show we talk about other types of classic games of the week. I'm pretty sure Kid Icarus has been a classic game of the week. So
yes.
If not, it better be soon. So we're going to get into the classic game of the week and check out in the gaming vault what is the classic game that has been picked for us this week. So let's get into it. And so we take a step back through space and time in this magical time machine to cover the classic game of the week. But this week it's going to be something a little bit different because Dark Sakura, unfortunately, she's been a little bit ill and she is actually on like mandated voice rest right now due to like laryngitis adjacent issues without getting too much into it because that's her business. But unfortunately, she can't even help us out this week with the classic game of the week. So I thought, even though it's awesome when I fill in and get to do my picks and Loki gets to fill in and do his picks, I thought, you know, we should try to have guests here more often, even if we have to kind of fire up Skype or get folks here in person to do some of these picks when Dark Sakura is not available for whatever reason. So please welcome back to the show. I know it's been a little bit, but Alan is here.
Hello.
Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. It's been a little while since we've had you here. I know even though we live together, which makes you a very easy guest to
yes.
have on the show, we have a very close relationship. Listeners don't know. But you have other commitments on Sunday nights, so you can't like always be here during the show.
Yes. Or when I was working, Sunday was like my Saturday, so I just wanted to just be off work.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, before we get into the classic game of the week, what do you think about, you know, since you live here, what do you think about like all that's changed with the video transition and all that stuff?
You did a really good job of hiding how messy our house is.
I've talked a lot on this show about radio magic, but now that my dear, is television magic.
With know your angles, both for pictures of yourself and of your studio.
That's right. If I could mount that camera higher so it's more like, you know, camera up, chin, you know, get rid of that double chin, I would. But I've only got so much to work with. All right. So anyway, Alan, you're here to give us your pick for the classic game of the week. It's got to be something 10 years older or more.
Yes.
And I know you've played a lot of different stuff than Dark Soccer or even myself. So I think you've picked something kind of a little different, right? So what is your pick for classic game of the week?
My pick for a classic game of the week is a PC title that came out in 2003 by Microsoft Studios, designed by Digital Anvil, and its name is Freelancer, The Universe of Possibility. Freelancer was directed by Chris Roberts of Wing Commander fame. The game was announced by Roberts in 1999, but of course Microsoft likes to eat up game studios. Digital Anvil was purchased by them, which really kind of put some kinks in the development of it. But it did come out a couple years after it was originally intended.
Now, I assume you were a big Wing Commander fan back in the day, too.
Well, yes. I really liked the...
Like the first two games. I don't know. They kind of... Once they
got into the full motion video, then it was kind of like, it was like, is this really Mark Hamill? What?
And especially that movie was not great.
Which I did not see.
And you should keep it that way, too. Yeah. But the first two were great.
The problem with Wing Commander is that I just was never any good at it. The controls were too, I don't want to say realistic, but I just had a hard time steering the ship. And when I could steer the ship, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with my missiles.
And it was one of those games that really did not take well to newer PCs because it didn't have like the slowdown built in or whatever. Like it didn't have a way to so it's kind of I'm sure there's ways to play it now. I just haven't explored it in a long time. I don't know if it's on one of those, like, you know, good old
I imagine if you ran Wing Commander on DOSBox, you could just enter a code that says like suppress the CPU cycles by X amount and that would slow it down.
Anyway, sorry, it's not about Wing Commander, but same guy.
And what he wanted to create with Freelancer is he wanted a way to play like have a multiplayer experience, which in 2003 was a very lofty goal because WoW was not out yet, and I think the real only the big MMO that was out, and this is not an MMO, it's a single player campaign game with a multiplayer element. The only thing really was
EverQuest,
LAN
right?
party games like Command and Conquer or whatever, or StarCraft, but then of course yes, EverQuest was the big MMO.
Ultima Online, probably.
Ultima
too.
Online, yeah. So also one thing that I noticed is that this game has some weird, I don't want to say that BioWare or Mass Effect stole from this, but like, for example, there are nodes like the mass relays where you jump to a system, something similar is in this game where if you want to go from one star system to another, you have to go to a jump point and you go through like this thing and you get spit out into a different, star system. And Jennifer Hale, who is very prolific in the video game voiceover world, plays Junko Zane, who is basically your main. Like, you play Trent, who's voiced by Ian Zierling, I think that's from 90210.
Oh, God, the 90210 guy. Okay.
Yes, yeah. So he's the voice. Yeah, actually, George Takei is in it as well.
Oh, my.
So, yes, it does have some pretty big names in there. So, yeah, I just noticed, like, there are some weird sort of, if you want to reach a little bit, Mass Effect connections.
Does it play like Wing Commander? I mean, I know it's still like a space game.
That's the thing. It was the first space sim combat game where I found it very easy to pick up, very easy to learn how to play and be good at it very quickly. I believe you can do a first-person cockpit view, but your ship is kind of like... basically you can see the thrusters of the ship, so it's like a third person, like kind of like the camera is sitting on the butt of the ship, and you pretty much do everything. You steer and you also target the enemy spaceships with the mouse. It's all mouse driven, most of it is. And the you know how in games like that where you have to shoot where the ship is going to go, so like if the enemy ship is halfway across the screen, you want to shoot a little bit to the left of that so that it will fly into your bullets.
Yeah.
The reticle that it gives you makes it very easy to figure out how that works, because in Wing Commander, I always had a huge problem with how the predictive targeting worked. even though the graphics, I believe, were a bit stunted, it didn't necessarily have what would be considered 2003 graphics for the PC. It did get a lot of acclaim for how pretty it was. Some of the star systems, when you've got a planet sort of over like a nebula, it's a really gorgeous game.
And we can see that now on Twitch, at least.
Yes.
Part of it. Yeah, it does look a little... I think it's a little more ahead of where a lot of games were at in 2003. You know, 2003 was more like the PlayStation 2 era, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a little bit ahead of that.
The NPCs, aside from like three or four core NPCs, like Jennifer Hale's character, all have the same weird of sort of like flat, square, mush face, kind of like the family in Katamari Damacy, like the random, like the yeah. So if you look in the video that's playing right now of the gameplay, you'll notice that some of the people kind of look the same. But the really big ambitious thing that I was saying earlier that Chris Roberts wanted to create with this was a persistent online state with a real economy, so that up to 128 players could log into basically a game server, like one that you hosted yourself, and if you logged out and logged back in, you could resume your career, but the universe would have kept on even though you personally were not there. And the plot of it, the first player... our single-player campaign mode is you are a freelancer, which means you buy and sell ore from different star systems. You know, buy low, sell high, blah, blah, blah. But then you discover that you were used to smuggle alien artifacts, and you discover the secret alien race that's going to, like, kill humanity, which is also kind of like a Mass Effect thing. So you start as, you know, just like a Han Solo-type character pretty much, and then you end up saving the universe.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I know.
Just kidding. Is it kind of like those Mass Effect-y connections that make you kind of think of that game fondly now, or what is it about this game made you think it's worthy of a classic?
It's been probably 10 years since I last played it, but I know I've played it from start to finish at least twice. Just because visually how pretty the outer space looks and how fun, like the combat is genuinely really fun because of how easy it is to play. And I believe they're multiple difficulty settings. Don't quote me on that though. But yeah, it's you can take breaks from the story if you want, except for at certain set points. So if you really want to do more of the economy thing, you can do so. What Chris Roberts was picturing in his mind when he pitched Freelancer was really EVE Online. EVE Online is sort of what he really would have liked, which was way too ambitious for Anvil or Microsoft to have done at that time. But when he was trying to describe it, ultimately, I feel EVE Online is sort of the actual execution of what he wanted it to be, because in multiplayer mode, all you really did is you could fight enemies and pirates and sell, buy and sell different commodities. But that was really it. And once you got over that, once you like made money, like there wasn't shit to do.
Quickly before we wrap up, how did you find this game? Was it because you followed Wing Commander?
I probably saw it at like Electronics Boutique. I bought even before PC games had download codes,
right,
at GameStop. You can't get PC games at GameStop anymore now at all.
Well, you just pretty much are buying a card with a code on it.
Yeah, but I don't even see those anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was just, you know, PC gaming and came across this game probably within a year or so after it came out, maybe 2004, 2005, saw that it was by Chris Roberts and really enjoyed the purchase.
Awesome. Well, there it is. If there's nothing else left to say, your classic game of the week, Freelancer,
yep,
for the PC by Microsoft Studios. Awesome pick. Good one that I didn't know a lot about really until today, even though I just wasn't. I was probably more focused on console gaming at the time. I don't know. Maybe my PC wasn't good enough.
The last thing that I'll make that was kind of neat is that the end game for the single player campaign is once you like save the galaxy, blah blah blah, you're then sort of put back into the universe. And you can do whatever you want.
Mm.
But again, that gets very boring because it's just you in this huge universe buying and selling the same commodities. So it's kind of like the end game is kind of really falls short.
Is this something people can still play? I mean, you said it was the servers were on your end, right?
So yeah. I think you can host the server yourself.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, I should have said this at the beginning. It was the Freelancer is technically the sequel to a game called Star Lancer, which I want to say Star Lancer was available on the Dreamcast. Freelancer was PC only, and Star Lancer flopped really bad. and Freelancer actually sort of elevated the legacy of that series, because Freelancer was a very good game, whereas Star Lancer was not.
Gotcha. Well, great pick.
So now I'm done.
All right. Well, thanks, Alan. That was a great pick. Quickly, I know we got to get back to the show, just like in general, how's your gaming, like your present gaming world going?
I'm playing Overwatch ranked mode again because I took like, 5 or 6 months off. I missed.
How do you like Ashe?
She's fun. I'm not particularly good as her because I'm not good at snipers. Yeah. Well, of course, Jennifer Hale again.
True.
And
legend, icon.
Yes, because we did meet her at GamerX. We have a picture with her.
Yep. Here's the part where Bobby in chat goes, "Jennifer Hale was on my show."
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But her voice is so recognizable to me now that even when she's putting on a southern twang like Ashe, I'm like, "Jennifer, I know it's you."
So the Dark Souls thing finally ran out for you?
Yeah, I was playing the hell out of Dark Souls 2. But after a couple hundred hours, I basically got... This is not relevant to the classic game of the week, but...
That's okay.
In Dark Souls 2, you can get a ring where if you equip it, you get a strength bonus on your bare fist so you can punch the shit out of monsters rather than the big giant buster swords that normally Dark Souls is associated with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through this really tedious mess to get that ring. So I did a playthrough just punching the shit out of monsters.
Nice. All right.
Like just like Boxer Girl, like a, you know, a fight, like Kung Fu.
But even if you put Dark Souls away for now, you'll probably come back to it in a few months.
I still have not played Dark Souls 3.
And we do have to give a quick shout out to Akuma JP.
Yes.
Fix that situation.
Yes,
with
my son, my handsome boy.
not Akuma JP, but the Solari amiibo. I thought Mr. Smush was your son.
Yeah, no, I have many sons.
Okay.
Solaire of Astora is a iconic NPC from the first Dark Souls. It's hard to describe the fixation with him. He doesn't make any appearances in Dark Souls 2 or 3, which is a shame, but he is a iconic part of the Dark Souls or Demon Souls legacy.
And you were able to get the amiibo.
And I was able to get the amiibo.
No thanks to GameStop.
Yeah, no thanks to GameStop. Apparently, they had all sold out by like May.
So dumb.
Because remember, Dark Souls Remastered for Switch was supposed to come out then.
Yeah.
But it came out in like October.
Yep.
Akuma JP was like, "I can just go everywhere here." He mailed me one and also some candy, which is now all gone. So thank you for the candy.
Thank you. All right. We do need to get back to the show. What can I say? I'm a little partial to you, Alan. I'm always going to let you have a little more time maybe than the average guest. But
this is played during the break, so you're probably eating right now.
That's also, yes, I'm hiding my time trying to shove an entire pizza
and making coffee and going to the bathroom.
Yes, as one does during a 3-hour radio program. But we do need to get back. Alan, thank you so much for being here. Any last parting thoughts for our listeners this week?
Constructive criticism about the studio video quality, please. No, like, rude comments.
Okay, yeah, no rude. Everyone's been really cool so far.
Okay. All right, bye.
All right, we're back here live in studio, episode number 757 of our show in progress for this December 23rd of 2018, or as my sister used to call it, Christmas Eve Eve. So, I don't. Have you ever heard that term before? Or is that just me? Christmas
no, I've
Eve?
Heard it. All it right. was trending on Twitter earlier.
Was it? Oh, well now it's not cool to say anymore. Then
exactly.
if it's something all the kids are saying, I suppose now. Anyway, so thanks to Alan for filling in for the classic game of the week. I thought that was a good choice, a game I didn't know a lot about, so I learned something. So I think that's something we'll kind of continue to do in 2019. I mean, we love it when Darksoccer's here and able to do stuff, but you know, things happen. And sometimes you can't always be here to do the classic game of the week. So I'd like to do more guests. I mean, we've done a ton of games by now. So we should get more guests in to do stuff. That'll be fun. So we'll try to do more of that in the future. Anyway, of course, we are live at twitch.tv/VOG Network. And we hope some of you listening out there on the podcast feed will join us for a live show some night. For those of you that are finding us through Twitch TV, we hope you will check out our podcast. We are, of course, taping a live audio podcast that we've been running for 16 and a half plus years. That's available over on iTunes, Google Play, podcasts, pretty much all the favorite places to get podcasts, except not yet Spotify. That's a 2019 thing because we are going to kind of be moving hosts behind the scenes. So I got to get all that taken care of. And then we'll end up going to Spotify. But none of that's going to affect like you guys downloading and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get back, I suppose, into some news. We need to do some rapid fire news for you guys here.
All right. So you may remember that the whole clusterfuck of Fallout 76, well, Bethesda's trying to make good with people that have stayed with the game. So now they basically announced on Twitter that anybody that has logged into Fallout 76 during 2018 will receive a copy of Fallout Classic Collection on PC, which is Fallout, Fallout 2, and Fallout Tactics. And so no word on how you'll be able to get those, but I'm sure code within their Bethesda launcher or something like that. Who knows? So stay tuned for that if you're playing the game. And then, of course, some unfortunate news for the Uncharted movie. It's apparently...
Speaking of movies I have concerns about.
Apparently, they had lost their director. So right now they are without a director on that. You basically said the closest to the starting line is Uncharted, and that's a massive title. We have a very good script. We have our star, Tom Holland, and now that is subject to schedule and additional casting. But as I say right now, it seems that most near the horizon. But I don't know what they're going to do now without... I guess I'll have to get a new director and see how that goes. But yeah, I'm not 100% on this movie either. It's just, I'm very skeptical
Movies do change their directors a ton. I mean, we know there's the very controversial Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and all everything that's gone through. But, you know, that it's not uncommon for movies to lose directors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but let's just hope it's not a sign of abandoned shit. It's probably just one of those, this project's taking too long to get off the ground. I want to go do something else.
I hear he's doing the, I thought they said James Gunn's doing the second Suicide Squad movie. No, it wasn't the Suicide Squad. It was the other one with, it's like an all-female ensemble.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but...
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
No, DC picked him up, which is the obvious solution to that whole thing, is that if Marvel doesn't want him,
I hear Aquaman's apparently pretty good.
Is it?
That's
I never get to the movies. We were looking at going to see a movie last night, but there was like nothing where we were like, the Wreck-It Ralph sequel. We almost
Spider-Man. See Spider-Man.
I've heard a lot of good things about it.
It's so good.
Follow the comics.
You don't have to. Okay. It's so good.
Okay, I'll have to consider checking that out. Alan really wanted to see The Widows, that movie, but it's already gone from theaters.
I want to see also Immortal Engines, but I hear it's not very good. Mm. But I just want to see it because it looks interesting.
Okay.
But I would actually, if I had the choice between Immortal Engines and Spider-Man, I'd go see Spider-Man again.
I want to go see Wreck-It Ralph still, the new.
It's good.
It'll be there for a while.
It's good. You could probably even wait to see it on video. Okay. But Spider-Man is really good.
All right. You're not the only one that's saying that. A lot of people are saying that new Spider-Man movie is pretty amazing.
I mean, I've seen Wreck-It Ralph 2. Wreck-It Ralph 2, was a cute movie. But Spider-Man was just like, after you see it, you're like, damn, I need to go see that again.
Okay, we get it. Damn. All right.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's talk about the NES Switch Online. Of course, you know, you can play classic Nintendo games on Switch Online. Still curious what they're going to bring us in January.
Yeah.
But we had some new games in this December. We had Ninja Gaiden. We had Adventures of Lolo. We had...
They did a couple of those, like, I forget the column with the modded
SPs. Yeah.
So they did one for Metroid, and then they did one for Dr. Mario.
But anyway, apparently, and I didn't know this, if you actually use the NES controllers, because those are out now.
Yeah.
So you actually use the NES controllers with this, you actually get different color scheme, and you get different sound effects that actually sound 8-bit. So it's just like this little Easter egg if you are actually using those old controllers.
I guess that's neat.
Kind of neat. Now, this is what I think is more neat, is that it was also discovered that with the new Super Mario Brothers U on Switch, that whole thing that's coming out, that game is going to support the classic controllers. So even though Nintendo made no promises beyond the Switch Online, you know, because, of course, with that, those classic controllers only having so many buttons, not every game is going to want to natively support that. But I guess because Mario games are generally pretty much the same, right? So you only need the two buttons. So they actually made it so that the new Super Mario Bros. U on Switch is going to use those classic controllers if you want. That's kind of neat.
But wasn't new Super Mario Bros. Well, I was going to say new Super Mario Bros. That originated on the DS. So I was going to say...
Yes.
I was trying to think if
it was DS and there was a Wii version in the Wii U.
Because if it was on the Wii and they used the Wii remotes, then those only had two buttons as well.
Yes.
So then that makes sense.
Yes. But technically, this is a Wii U port. But yes, I mean... For sure, what you're saying there. Yeah. I'm more curious because I remember on the Wii U version, the second player could like draw on the screen and do stuff. I'm just assuming that's just gone. Or maybe you could do it in portable mode and touch the screen. But I, it's probably not really a thing anymore.
I don't think it's a thing.
Yeah, I think they just probably took it out. It was like, it's just one of those things that's going to go, and instead you get things that inspired Bowsette memes. So enjoy it. Speaking of things to enjoy in Nintendo products, Firewatch is on the Switch. I don't know how many of you have checked out Firewatch finally on the Switch, because it was on a ton of other. It was on PC. It was on PlayStation 4. I loved Firewatch, but you know I love the walking simulators, which I still don't like that title, but if that's what they're going to call it, fine. I just recommended today Everybody's Gone to the Rapture to somebody who hadn't played it yet. I was like, oh, you got to play that game. But anyway, Firewatch is really good too, and it's on the Switch, and apparently they've actually hidden away a Nintendo 64 controller. There's actually a little Nintendo game called Forest 64, and you can find this. Like, it's a little Easter egg. And, yeah, I think it's just, like, cute little things to find in the game. So,
neat.
Yeah, neat. I like those little things. They did that same thing in Gone Home, another one of those kind of games that finally came out on the Switch. They did almost, like, the Super Nintendo games that were hidden in the sister's room or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, not unheard of to see these types of callbacks. So anyway, there you go. There's some rapid fire news for you in what is otherwise kind of a slower news week, but we still got some things to cover, including release dates, question mark. I really seeing as this is Christmas week, I just don't know if anything at all is coming out this week, but it's worth checking in anyway.
There's nothing.
There's nothing.
There's nothing that's coming out console-wise as far as like an actual physical release or anything.
Sure. I'm sure there'll still be some indie titles.
Nothing.
We don't get a list of those.
We got nothing on both fronts, unfortunately. So,
all right. Well, there's one release in Japan. Actually, a couple. There's one major release in Japan and a few minor ones. But the major release in Japan this week on December the 27th, Diablo 3 Eternal Collection gets its Japanese release this week. So that's something, a little something. Because, you know, Christmas is kind of different in Japan. It's not necessarily the hysteria it is over here. But there's also on the Switch, they have Go Vacation and Shin Sangoku Musou 7 with Moshuden DX. So you have that to look forward to on the Switch. It is still a slow week, but at least it's not completely barren. I don't know about the UK, Loki. Imagine it's pretty slow over there, too, though.
There's nothing there.
Nothing there.
Yeah, nothing coming out until the 10th.
Right. Black Mamba in our chat says, I heard Final Fantasy VII is coming to Switch in 2019. Is this true? I don't think they dated it, but it was in their last direct like they did. It was all the Final Fantasy. Yeah, 10, 12... Seven, no, because they skipped eight. So not all the Final Fantasies, because remember, everybody was like, where's eight, though? But the eight, because let's be real, they're all ported PC releases pretty much, right? Or they're ports of versions that have already come out. Now, even though seven had a really old PC release, it had a somewhat newer PC release, and it had, more importantly, that PlayStation 4 release. Remember when... at the PlayStation Expo one year, they announced, this was before they announced the Final Fantasy VII remake, they announced Final Fantasy VII's coming to PlayStation 4, and everybody loses their shit. And they're like, yes, it's the classic Final Fantasy. And like, they go back to the audience, everybody's just like, complete stone face, like, really, bitch? Do you remember that when they unveiled that? Yeah, it was funny. So anyway, that's the version I think they're probably doing on the Switch. And so there's what, 7, 9, 10, not 11, 12, and probably some other stuff too I'm forgetting in the moment.
Why not 11?
I know, because I don't know if Square knows where. I feel like Final Fantasy 11 is that thing that just kind of exists in a dark room somewhere and nobody's really checking on it.
I thought the mobile version was supposed to be coming out.
I thought so too.
Out the mobile version.
Yeah.
Or like, I check it out on like, you know, because Switch can't run, you know, 14. We'll just get a remastered 11 and I'm fine with that.
Dr. Suya says, I thought I heard 8's issue was licensing the music. Well, that would be weird. Wasn't all the music in it original? Except unless maybe there was some weird agreement with Fei Wong, Eyes on Me. Like, would that really be a thing? I don't know. So, I guess I could be surprised. Maybe they had a guest artist or something. Dr. Suya says, it's the one song, Eyes on Me. So maybe, you know, you could do the Konami thing.
Oh, no.
You could do the Konami thing and get someone new to sing it.
I'm down.
ActDef says maybe it explains why there's only two songs in Smash. Because, you know, the Final Fantasy stuff in Smash is pretty thin. They really didn't go out of their way to add new Final Fantasy stuff. Whereas, like, everything else kind of, like, has, like, new fancy stuff.
But it's just Cloud.
They really bother with the...
It's just Cloud. Fantasy. It's fine.
All right. Anyway, this is the part of the show where we would usually get it in the mailbag. However, there were no emails this week.
Oh, no.
If you want to send us emails, you can send those emails to participate@orangeloungeradio.com. But unfortunately, when I opened up the mailbag at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, there were no emails there. So you know what that means? I get to spend some time talking about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4.
Oh, hooray.
Hooray. So, did you see this week's episode?
Nope, I didn't. Oh, my God. I don't watch that show.
The lip sync. Would the lip syncs this season have been on point? The one this... I'm not going to spoil everything because probably everybody's not watched it, but the lip sync this last episode was so good. So good. It was good. I can't wait for the next episode of Reading is Fundamental. Cheap plug to talk about it. It was good. But here's... I'll tell you this. This has got a lot of people talking in the community. The next episode, the one that airs this Friday, leaked because, wow, because everybody has to have their own Netflix thing. So RuPaul's production company, Wow Presents World of Wonder, on their Plus service, where they do like Uncensored Drag Race and other, yeah, you know, specials and things like that, Wow Plus or whatever overseas accidentally posted the third episode early.
Uh-oh.
But you know what happens? Once it's on the internet, it is always on the internet. So it's over on Reddit, and, you know, they're trying to hide it. You kind of have to know, like, what corners to look and where. But if you really dig for it, you can find it. And so I already saw this Friday's episode, because if I didn't watch it now, I was going to get spoiled. So I had to watch it before somebody else could spoil me. So obviously, I would never spoil for those that are keeping themselves away from it. But this week's episode is pretty darn good, too. That's all I'm really going to say. But I'm still rooting for Monique Hart. Do you know who Monique Hart is?
No.
Okay. All right.
I don't know anything about...
Brown cow stunning! three words, Loki. Brown cow stunning. That's all I need to know.
Okay. Really must like their dairy products.
Looking at it... Oh, Bobby Blackwolf. Okay, you can ask this about in the email segment. Bobby Blackwolf asks, so what happened on Survivor? So I can tell this little side story. It has nothing to do with gaming, but if you're not going to send emails, then I get a tangent time. So I don't know if you knew about this trip I took. So I took a trip in the middle of the week. We drove down on Wednesday and drove back on Thursday. We went to L.A., and here's why. We were trying to get into the Survivor finale in L.A. that they do at CBS Studios.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, Cammie, she got in through the seat filler. All our female friends got in. All the males did not get in. I wonder what that's all about, but maybe it was just a coincidence. But anyway, actually, this girl that I met while I was down there that's kind of hangs in the same kind of group, she was right in the front and center at the very beginning. You could not miss her. So that was pretty cool. Like, because we were watching, since we didn't get in, we went to watch an East Coast feed at somebody else's place, and we got to, kind of watch there. And when we saw this girl in the front row that we knew, it was like, oh, my God. Like, we know her. So that was kind of fun. And so here's the thing, though. So I didn't just drive all the way to LA to like do nothing and end up watching an East Coast feed. I mean, I met new friends, new people. That's always fun. But we knew the place because, you know, people talk. We knew the place where all the people that were on the show that felt like doing after partying were going to go. We knew what bar they were going to. So like some dumb Survivor groupies, which is funny because, you know, I used to be obsessed with the show, right? Like I used to watch it all the time. And I kind of, like, when I started doing more podcasts, like, on Wednesdays and stuff, I kind of fell out of the habit of watching. So I haven't watched religiously, but I've caught, like, two or three episodes this season, and this last season was pretty good. So we went to the place in L.A. where all the people were going to show up, and they did. So we got to meet a lot of the people, and a lot of, you know, the people that were on it previously all showed up, too. So that was kind of fun. You know, I didn't recognize everybody, and I don't like to do the picture thing an awful lot because I feel like then it's like you're asking somebody, you're going up to somebody and going, can I get a picture? Can I get a picture? And then, like, you know, you take that picture and they're like, okay, thanks. Have a good one. And I'm like, I think that's so, like, I don't know. Like, I would rather, like, talk for, like, 2 minutes to somebody. So I didn't really get a lot of selfies, even though we got to talk to, like, Gabby was one I know for sure that we ran into. Allison was out front. If you don't watch Survivor, these names mean nothing to you. But anyway, yeah. So, and the guy who won was there, too. So it was a lot of fun. So... the person I did run into that I had to get a selfie with, and you have no clue who this person is, but if I like Survivor, I really like Big Brother, which is the really trashy one that they do in the house. Yeah. I met Arissa Cox, and I wouldn't expect you would know her, but anybody up north might know her because she's the host of Big Brother Canada. So she was there at the Survivor thing because I think ET Canada was covering it. Because there's a lot of people in Canada. They don't have their own Survivor in Canada. They have their own Big Brother. They don't have their own Survivor, so they watch ours. So I think she's kind of the bridge. Like, she does the little, like, correspondence for Survivor in Canada. So that was my moment. That was my little celebrity encounter for the Canadians that listen that might know who I'm talking about. She was really nice. Yeah. She was really patient. This drunk guy offered to take a picture of us, and he was just being really awkward, and it was like a really super awkward moment. I was like, oh, it's okay. I'll get a selfie. And I was kind of like, I'm like looking at her. I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, she's like, oh, no, it's funny. You know, type of thing. She was really like humble, and she was, you know, asking me some questions about like, how do you watch it down here? And I was like, girl, you know, there's places on the internet. She's like, you know, so it was cool. It was cool. Anyway. I love this. Bobby in chat says, Rob does one show on Twitch and then he immediately goes to Hollywood. Well, you know, nice. But now that I did, it was fun. I met some friends I've known online for a long time. And that meant more to me than people on a TV show I watched twice. They're all normal people, you guys. It's just Hollywood. It's just a show just like this. All right. Anyway, that's enough. That's enough about weird, crazy. I can't believe I did that. But it was one of those things where my friends were like, do it. Why not? And I was like, you know what? Good point. Like, I could use just a random trip. Why not? Let's do it. So it was fun. Anyway. All right. Let's get back into some actual video gaming news now that I've told my little midweek trip story. And let's get into what's going on with trophies and what they're telling us, right?
Yeah. So there's this feature that they've launched, I guess, called My PS4 Life. It's some sort of marketing campaign that is like a highlight video of players' individual stats and milestones. So based on that, I guess with the game, they were talking about like how many of like a certain trophy out of how many people have played the game, you know, what percentage you had. And based on that information, you can extrapolate how many copies of a game sold.
So people used math.
People use math to reverse engineer.
People mathed this week, and that is the headline on Kotaku.
Yes, so they
I have to give a little crap. Come on,
Figured out like some of the player counts for certain games. So, for example, Doom has 3.9 million people playing the game. The Last Guardian, 1.94 million people playing that. Uncharted: Lost Legacy, 3.9 million. Wolfenstein, 1.4. Detroit Become Human, 2.4, Red Dead Redemption, 6.1, and so on. Fallout 76, only 407,000.
To be fair, I bet that game hasn't been out as long as the others, and you have to earn those trophies. Well, I mean, okay, they're using the math. Never mind. Because even if only 0.1% of people have a trophy, you can still kind of figure some things out that way. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's room for error, too, because there's only so many decimal points in those percentages. So, obviously, I mean, we know these are just, like, estimates, and there may be some gray area. Because some people buy games and then never unlock any trophies. Some people bought the game, returned it, and it went a secondhand sale, basically. So they still have the trophies on their account, but now somebody else bought the same copy and has their own trophies. So it's not quite foolproof math. No, for sure. But it's interesting when we don't necessarily always get the sales number.
Haven't been releasing a lot of sales numbers anymore. They don't break it down like the NPD used to. Now it's a lot of that's private unless they want to brag about, oh, look at how well our console sold.
Hence the Smash Brothers story from before the break.
Yes.
Yeah. Going in chat at live.vognetwork.com will still work, but at Twitch TV Vog Network, ActDev says, people did math and obtained results. More at 11. Yep, pretty much. But that's the kind of stories you get on Christmas and New Year's week when everybody's finally on vacation, I think, at this point of the year. So let's move on to something else overseas that might be a little more serious. In Germany, legal action is being pursued against Nintendo for their no-cancellation eShop pre-order policy. If you didn't know that, if you try to pre-order something on Nintendo, you cannot take backsies. You
they
can't
probably
cancel
just don't
it.
Have it built in that they can do that.
Yeah. So they say when you go, it can't be. They tell you, it's not like you're surprised. It's in that little print that a lot of you probably don't read. But people will try to call customer service, and it's not something that they really do. So the Norwegian Consumer Council initially kind of started to try to change this policy, but now the German Consumer Protection Authority has collaborated with the Norwegian Consumer Council and is now going to take legal action against Nintendo Europe because Nintendo Europe is based in Germany. Now, if you think our courts are slow, so are theirs. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but there's some further details about what's going on here. Nintendo did cite the Article 16 of the European Consumer Law Directive in their defense, and it says it doesn't have to allow cancellation if, quote, the performance has begun with the consumer's prior express consent, which they're doing with the pop-up, and with the acknowledgement that he will lose his right of withdrawal once the contract has been fully performed by the trader. But in the retort, the Norwegian Consumer Council said, "The company plainly states that all purchases are final. According to the right of withdrawal laid down in the Consumer Rights Directive, such terms are illegal. Until the game can be downloaded and launched, the seller cannot prohibit the consumer from canceling their pre-order."
Which makes sense. They really shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, it is a little
because,
weird.
Because, I mean, unless you've actually downloaded the game, I mean, what? I don't understand. You haven't downloaded anything yet. Who cares?
Let's ask this question, too. Why is anyone pre-ordering anything anymore?
Because people pre-order stuff because they're either really excited about they want to actually buy something because they know that they want it, or they're doing it because of some sort of bonus that they're throwing in, and that's really that's the whole pre-order culture. I understand.
It's got to be the bonus.
It makes sense in the sense of like physical copies because you have to know what to bring in as far as inventory, and so you need to have those pre-orders to gauge a number of like. Here's how many copies we need to bring in at this location type of thing. But it's just gotten ridiculous.
I buy a lot of stuff online, and so I want to lock in that release day shipping from a major online retailer that I use. And so, that might be as – but that's about as far out as I pre-order usually.
But digital
– I've had a copy of Kingdom Hearts 3 on pre-order since like 2013 because said major online retailer accidentally listed it for like $40 at one point. And so, like, I pre-ordered it then, and so now they have to honor that price. So
they don't have to do shit. They can cancel your order and then...
I guess they could, but they better not. That's not a nice thing to do. I'll cancel my Prime. I won't, but anyway, I don't think they're going to do it. I think they are still honoring it. Because if you think about it, when the they were giving you the 15% discounts or 20%, whatever the hell it was anyway, that was about the equivalent of that anyway. Now, yes, they got rid of that, but they're probably just writing it off for this one... You know, how many people got what I got and are still locked into it? Probably not very many.
Probably.
Also, in related news, Kingdom Hearts 3 is, like, actually a real thing that's going to happen. I kind of can't believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this game has been, like, a non-existent thing for so long, and now it's, like, actually going to happen, and it's really weird. But anyway. Bobby Blackwolf points out in our chat that he got the same detail, but he wishes he was getting it on Xbox One X. Probably because of the 4K stuff and, you know, the things his theater can do. But for that price, he'll deal with it, he says. And then ActDef says, "I can only imagine Darksoccer's ears burning right now with everyone using the word pre-order." Well, unfortunately, whether it's grammatically correct or not, that is the term that everybody kind of runs with. So it's what we're using here, too, for now.
And really, you shouldn't pre-order games because...
Agreed.
Just in the, like, nowadays, like, a lot of stuff gets released, even if it's, like, a well-known, like, a quality... Bethesda, most of the, okay, Bethesda games, for the most of them come out, they're functional. I mean, and they're not terrible. They, granted,
you kind of said that with a question mark. They're functional?
Yeah, they're I mean, like Skyrim and Oblivion and, like, you know, Fallout 3 and stuff like that. I mean, they were functional. You would be satisfied, okay, this is a full game, you know, whatever. It's not completely broken out of the gate like it is with, like, Fallout 76 or... A lot of these games, though, are releasing kind of in a broken state because, oh, we need to get it out right away. So that's kind of one reason why you don't want to necessarily pre-order, because it could be a broken mess for a very long time. And if they're more interested in selling those emotes and DLC than fixing the game, you're going to be stuck with a broken game for a long time. Why should you have to give them money up front to be a beta tester for their fucking product?
I think there'll probably be less and less people pre-ordering in 2019. I just, you know, especially now that you know that if you do it with Nintendo, you can't cancel it. I mean, I don't know how many people are really like, you know, if you want Super Smash Brothers, like, you're not canceling that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's very rare. But I can also see people's personal life circumstance. Like, what if you pre-ordered a bunch of games and then, heaven forbid, you lose your job or you have a huge financial emergency of some other sort and you're like, all right, something's got to go, I better cut back all these games. But if you did that with Nintendo, you can't.
Well, just don't do it through their eShop. You can do it at, like, a game store, and because you're only putting $5 down there, and you can go in and cancel your game,
and they'll invest your $5 and then give you just the $5 back and keep whatever got invested.
Yeah, because I mean, some of these games, so, like, I don't understand. I get it, like, you need to know how many copies of something. And that's more of, like, for obscure games. Like, like, oh, if I wanted to get Earth Defense Force, you know, the day it comes out, I might want to pre-order that because if I want a physical copy, they might not order a lot of those because they're not expecting a lot of people want it. So that would be something I would need to go in there and actually order a copy of. But if it's like Red Dead Redemption 2, they're ordering all the fucking copies they can get, and you're not going to have a problem getting that in, you know, getting that day one. Of course, they'll tell you that it's going to be a problem, but, you know.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I pre-order hardware like Rock Band stuff. But that's different.
That's stuff that's, you know, going to be limited supply.
And so. Some companies have real problems keeping them in stock.
Right.
Nintendo. You know what I mean? So, anyhow, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this, if Nintendo's going to be forced to change their policy in Europe anyway. Remember, there's no reason why it would just be Europe that changes. But it is interesting as we're starting to elect more and more people from, you know, the Generation X and Millennial generation into Congress and into elected offices. You get more and more people that are familiar with the video game industry and video game culture.
I fucking cannot wait for some computer literate people to be in the fucking Congress and Senate, or House and the Senate.
It's happening. It's slowly, but it's happening.
Fucking like, I know everybody's watched the clips online of like people trying to explain to senators, you know, here's what Android is. Here's what Google is. You know, oh, my iPhone's not working. Well, I'm sorry, sir. We don't make that phone. You know, what are you talking about? It's the same thing. It's like, I just want somebody that knows what the fuck they're doing to be voting on. Like, you can't vote on the internet if you don't know what the fucking internet is, Grandpa. I mean, seriously, just fucking, like, if you're that incompetent and stupid with, you shouldn't be voting on anything. You should be out. This is why I need term limits.
What's her name? I don't want to get too political, but I do crack up. And this person I know is super controversial because she's really, really left. Alessandria Cortez. She has a hyphen last name.
About, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Sorry, guy. I'm so sorry. I just don't have the news articles in front of me and I forget the name in the moment. But I'm actually complimenting her. I think it's cool. Like, politics aside, I don't want to bring that up right now. But like, just the fact that if you go to her Twitter, she posts pictures of herself on Friday nights watching Drag Race holding a glass of wine. And I'm like, politicians can be just like us. It's amazing. You know what I mean? It's like that now that feels like a representation of me. You know what I mean?
You didn't feel represented by the guy that spent all that, you know, campaign money on Steam games?
Maybe a little bit.
World of Warcraft gold or whatever the hell it was.
Thank you. The chat room saving me there. Ocasio-Cortez, that's her name. That sounds right. I know it was like an O, but anyway. And Bobby Blackwell pointing out Ted Lieu has a BS in computer science and a BA in political science. So there you go. And DJ Rama S says she's being nerfed in the Senate as we speak, but she's in the House. Isn't she? Anyway.
Yeah, who cares?
I don't want to do politics, but I couldn't help but think of that when we talk about, you know, more and more game aware people, like, you know, we'll never forget. I just brought this up on the show recently. In that Supreme Court ruling where, like, one of the Supreme Court justices' offices, like, all the staff knew Mortal Kombat, they all played it growing up. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like, it's a very different way of looking at it than when it was 1992 and you had what Alan Tipper Gore, whoever it was, up there going, like, you know, kids today are playing this filth, and, you know,
well, it's just a problem
holding,
like,
up a copy of Night Trap, which is the most ridiculous fucking game in retrospect.
If you just can't keep up with what's going on out in the world, then it's going to be hard to be able to make rules about it. I mean, I don't know. Then you have to rely on lobbyists to tell you what's going on. They're like, well, you see, this, you know, free open internet's bad. You need to do this. Oh, okay. Because you don't know the fucking's going on. I mean, it's just dumb. But anyways, enough politics.
Enough politics. Next story.
Anyways, so speaking of things that aren't so great, I used to be a huge fan of the Lemmings, and, you know, back when GeoCities was a thing, I used to do drawings of.
Back when it was, what, Spectrum Holobyte was the company that made
Spectrum
it, right?
Spectrum Holobyte?
Yeah.
Psygnosis.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, originally,
that's right. You're right.
DMA Den Designs, you know, did Grand Theft Auto and stuff. So Lemmings 2, you know, I used to, that'd be my jam. Well, now they have Lemmings coming out on mobile platforms,
and if you've never played Lemmings, Just it was these little, you know, because lemmings, they just follow blindly, like that's what a lemming is, right? But they actually made a little character out of it, and they would march in a line, and like it was a puzzler game, right? Like you had to get the lemmings to the exit without letting them die, but you had to make like builder lemmings. You had to build a wall so the lemming would like turn around, go the other way. Like it was a puzzle game, basically.
So here's the only thing about this, because it is a mobile game. You know, there's the mobile tax, which is the tax on your patience and on your wallet.
Uh-oh.
Because in the game, of course, you know, because you have the different types of lemmings that you can create and moves and stuff like that, apparently, according to some of the chat comments here, each costs one in-game currency to do a move. And if you run out of moves, then you have to wait 2 hours or for 20 more of said currency. And otherwise, you got to buy, like, you can buy gold.
To do a move?
I guess.
I would have thought maybe to unlock new boards or to get another attempt.
That's what I'm reading. But you know what? Here's the thing. So if you want to check it out, it's free to play. So check it out. You don't like it, or if it's just bullshit with the fucking microtransactions,
delete.
I mean, that's the easiest thing I could recommend.
Comments from our chat over at Twitch TV Vogue Network. DJ Rama S says, "I fucking love lemmings." Pretty simple comment there.
But I mean, it looks like lemmings. It looks pretty cool. It's just.
What's that wheel? I just saw it spin a wheel, and like you get like super lemmings. Or, oh
you
god,
get different things. But
charactered
like...
lemmings. Oh lord. Anyway, Brack the Man has played this a little bit. A comment here saying, "I'm a pretty hardcore lemmings fan, and I've been playing a bunch of this mobile game, and what a bummer."
I'm sorry.
That's funny. I've been playing a bunch of it, and I hate it. I don't know why, but I can't stop playing it. I hear that. Dark Tetsuya says, "I did like Lemmings on Super Nintendo. I think we rented it once or twice back then." Yeah, that was around the time that it was, you know, really at its peak on PC. It was like Lemmings and Lemmings 2, you know, with all the music on the ad lib card and all that stuff back in the day. So
yeah,
the originals were great.
I had Lemmings 2 on PC and Lemmings 1 on NES.
They did a PlayStation version, didn't they? They had to.
They probably did.
They had to. Yeah.
Super
Lemmings.
Funny enough, the last Lemmings game that came out was a PlayStation mobile title. So I think it was also a mobile port as well, but it was also on PSP and Vita. So they have that. But I mean, yeah, well, it's all right.
All right. Well, this is, you know, we were talking about Kingdom Hearts 3 a little bit ago, and some people are getting an even better deal than the pre-order at a cheap price. Some people are already playing it. That's right. Even though the game is not supposed to come out until January 29th, some people already have it. They got it 6 weeks in advance. And this was confirmed. Developer Nomura confirmed copies of Kingdom Hearts 3 are out there 6 weeks ahead of schedule. Of course, they didn't say how it happened. If you want to believe rumors... there's some indie retailer in Mexico that put one on the street. I don't know. But my question is, how the hell did they have it that far out?
It's the distributor or whoever's... Well, it's really, it comes down to Sony's fault, because Sony doesn't... any of these distributors shouldn't, or companies shouldn't be shipping that product to these distributors that early. And they shouldn't be shipping it out to the stores that early. And the stores shouldn't be putting it out that early. So it's just... somehow maybe copies fell off of a truck out of a duplicator or something like that. I don't know, but it shouldn't be out that early.
Now, here's the interesting thing in the statement from Nomura over on Twitter, on the official Kingdom Hearts Twitter, is that he's, you know, telling people to avoid clips, avoid spoilers. Obviously, you know, that's the type of thing he wants to do. I'm sure Twitch is shutting that down, as is YouTube. You know, it's I believe it's against Twitch terms of service to stream a game before it's officially out, unless, of course, you have permission. You know, you have you're a media outlet or something, but that's special circumstance. But anyway. Apparently, Nomura confirmed the epilogue and a secret movie, which apparently is some of the biggest spoilers out there, they're not on the disc. They will be released later, just in case, and this was the case. So the biggest spoiler, I mean, some spoilers will leak, but the biggest ones can't.
Well,
they are locked away, or they're not on the disc. So you have to actually download a day one patch to get it. It's released at a later date just in case, so they will not be shown before the game's release. And Nomura continues, "We want everybody to equally experience the full game after its release, so we ask for your continued support on its matter. We're grateful that fans have been warning each other already about the spoilers," and so on and so on. Do they finally kill Donald Duck? That would be a great... I told you, bitch. If you don't heal me this time, it's over.
Heal, please.
So anyway, yeah. I made it up. But and they're not going to kill a Disney character. Give me a break. Maybe they do. Maybe that's the gag. Maybe they do. I don't know. They might kill one of the Square characters, but they're not going to kill a Disney character. So I don't know. So I don't know if it's those kind of spoilers or, you know, so-and-so was XYZ all along or what it is. But just be careful. Surfing the internet. There's a lot of people that are very sensitive about spoiler stuff. So, you know, but like on the Kingdom Hearts Reddit and stuff, they're not letting people talk about it and those sorts of things. So just keep it in your pants till January 29th when everybody can play it. But it's fascinating that it did leak this soon. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. What happens though if you are somebody perhaps in Mexico or in another country or in a remote area like in Alaska where you don't have a strong internet connection to download this stuff on a day one patch? Now what do you do? I think that's a good question too. This move kind of screws those people.
It's got to be a day one patch that they're doing that. They can't like.
What if I can't connect to the internet and do it? So is it? Are we just at the point where it's like if you don't have internet, you shouldn't have a PlayStation 4? Is that just where we're? Is that where game companies
are
at?
Where we're at? Yeah.
That's interesting. I really feel like that is just kind of like the unspoken. Like nobody wants to say that. And I'm not saying that, but the industry's saying that with what these actions here is they're basically saying, if you don't have internet, maybe PlayStation 4 isn't for you or Xbox One or, you know, anything that is really online a lot. And I think this may be especially so with PlayStation 5 and what we get to for the next generation. And Act Deft in chat says, it is what it is, Rob. And that you know, there's really nothing. Is that going to make anybody not buy the game because they're going to have to download a huge day one patch? That's not going to change anybody's mind.
No.
You might have one or two Twitter crazy people that are like, this is an outrage. But it's just not. It's not going to change people's mind.
I mean, it's the day and age where, like, you know, of course you have internet. What don't you have internet? Don't you have phones?
Don't you have a phone? Just a few more stories before we try to get to the Skype line tonight, and then we'll wrap up. I don't know if Skype's going to work tonight, you guys, though, but we'll try. It's going to be... So, long story short, the Skype thing on the old thing, like, finally died. And so I have to get Alan to do, since we're going to be off next week, I have to get Alan to do the upgrade on this computer so that way I can run the new stuff and then we'll be able to do that again. Or I've got to be able to do it over here. But long story short, I got to run it off my phone. But I think in this period we're going to be gone, I can get Alan to do those upgrades in this PC and then I'll be all good and can run the new Skype and have this on Windows 10 and all that stuff and be set. So... that'll be nice. But yeah, they finally killed Skype on the old Windows, which we knew was coming in like November or something like that. So
Merry Christmas.
Merry
it's
Christmas,
fucked up
you
now.
Filthy animal. So, all right. Anyhow, let's get to a few more stories. Loki.
So Blizzard is going to be, if you are going to be cheating in Overwatch or breaking rules, it's going to go on your permanent record. They're going to have this.
I'm going to note this in your file.
This Overwatch League, they've got a discipline tracker that's basically going to log any sort of infractions that players have in different events, and you'll be able to actually view those infractions. They said that the tracker is 7 players have already been penalized, according to the tracker. And, of course, league play doesn't start until February 14th. But they're going to be conducting, I guess, full reviews of players' conduct and history and gamers as well when they're picked up by teams. And it's just going to be – it's apparently players who are not in an Overwatch League team could face suspensions or fines if they return to league play. But, yeah, it's interesting that they're really keeping track of all that stuff. Of course, you know, they've been punishing them for other things other than breaking rules, but like making, you know, racist.
Saying shitty things on their Twitch streams and stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We know about that. So I was fascinated when we brought this up. I was fascinated, like how many people were already on it. And it seems like the most major infraction is some type of like botting. Like power leveling an Lobby account. What do they call it? Thank you. Account boosting.
Suspended for 2 account boosting.
Account boosting. That's what it is. And that's when you get like a high level player who plays something low, like a throwaway account or something to play against like lower level players or I want to say it has something to do with like helping people get up into the big ranks fast. Like basically you go play on a low account, you play really, really, really well, and you kind of like boost the skill level of that account so whoever really wants to play it can play with higher level people, if that makes sense. I don't know why you would do this, but people probably pay money for this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, they have one person that's been fined $1,000 for account sharing. One person that was suspended 3 games for selling an account and obstructing league office official investigation.
Didn't try to hide it. ActDef says it's called smurfing as well. I knew there was another term for that. Yeah. So interesting. When the new season of the league hasn't even started. And I know they unveiled all the new teams. There's a lot of new teams out there. I did not see if there were any more women, maybe, with all these expansion teams. Because, you know, I was kind of like, where are the women at? And the two I looked at didn't have any. But to be fair, I haven't looked at all the new teams, so I don't know. But I'm preparing myself to be extremely disappointed that we're not progressing much in that
department.
But
is it because they're just not allowing women to play, or is it just because women just don't want to do it?
I think they aren't trying hard enough to find women. That's kind of what it is. Or, you know, recruit, train, build up women. You know what I mean? I think there's tons of women out there who love Overwatch. Like, go to any anime convention, right, and people that are dressing up, and a lot of the people posting online, there's tons of women that love Overwatch. And I'm sure, just like there's plenty of boys who want to get good at it, there's plenty of girls who want to get good at it and are trying to get good at it too. But for whatever reason, because gaming has typically been a very bro culture, and I've kind of addressed this before, I don't want to retread the wheel too much, but, you know, we're just not making those kinds of opportunities. And we're not, you know, it's great. We have at least one, but I don't want just a token. You know, there should be several women in the league for folks to look up to and aspire to be. But again, I have not looked at all the new teams. If somebody wants to correct me and let me know there's more folks joining Aguirre, that would be fantastic. But and ActDef points out there's a lot of Overwatch girl streamers, and they're pretty good. Don't know if they're pro level players. Well, you know, you have to kind of open. You start at the local level with the tournaments and things like that. But if the tournament culture is toxic to women and not accepting women, and women get in there and they just get like awkwardly hit on, and, you know, and I'm probably not the right person to talk about this. You know, maybe Dark Soccer or other women out there can talk about some of the experiences of weirdos at these events or not feeling welcomed. And I think what we can do as dudes is just welcome everybody. That's all we have to do. Make sure everybody feels welcome.
Just there, it seems that a lot of people that are like focused on being very good in like video games tend to be a bit more introverted and socially awkward and don't necessarily know how to conduct themselves normally around people in general.
We can correct that appropriately too. We can call that out and say, hey, like, you really shouldn't say that to somebody. You know, we can do that too. You know what I mean? And that's probably missing, to be fair. That's probably a big part of it. So anyway, I didn't mean to retread that whole ground. Sorry, but I had to come up. It had to. So it's something I feel strongly about. All right. Anyway, we do have one more story for you guys tonight, and it is about this brand new toy for kids. I don't know if this is something your kids are probably too old for this at this point, because it's a new Fisher Price toy.
No.
And it looks like an Xbox controller. So it's like something for like babies. It looks like an Xbox controller with little like numbers and letters all over it. But here's the hilarious thing is that apparently somebody at Fisher Price actually programmed up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start into this controller. So when you do it, it actually like will like flash and play a special sound and all this stuff. So it's kind of like, it's really one of those funny things that they did there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it actually will, like, you know, call out all the letters and shapes and all that stuff. It's kind of fun. So a little hidden secret thing that they did there. So cute. It's the type of thing you'd buy for a new kid.
New baby, yeah.
Yeah, new baby, probably more so. But something that the adult, because, you know, sometimes you can't help it. You pick up the baby's toys, you're like, you kind of play with it a little bit.
You're going to try. You're going to see.
Somebody did, clearly, to figure this out.
Clearly, it's like, oh, hey. Yeah.
All right. So anyhow, I'm going to try to get Skype open here in a moment. I need to do this on my cell phone, but I got to sign out of my other account to do that. So while I'm switching that over on my phone, Loki, I don't know if you have any last minute stories. If our Skype line is kind of flopping tonight as well, you can also feel free to send us questions in our chat room over at Twitch TV, and we'll get to some of those questions in chat as well. So we'll get to that here shortly. I just have to switch over because I'm signed into my personal account right now. And I'm going to switch over to the Orange Lounge Radio account, and then we can start taking some calls. So while we wait for that, I don't know if we have any last-minute stories.
We didn't really have any last-minute stories. We could talk a little bit about the Soulja Boy game console. I mean, okay.
So I'll be fast.
Long story short, he is drop-shipping these like retro game consoles that you see like in like mall kiosks and stuff like that. Basically, these consoles that emulate other systems and have like all these illegal ROMs thrown on there. And then he's calling them the Soulja Boy game consoles and stuff. And it's like, that's bad enough as it is that it's these really shitty Chinese knockoff consoles that have stolen ROMs in there. But then he's just doubling down on that shit, basically, when people are calling him out on it and saying, hey, Nintendo, you might want to take a look at this because there's fucking NES ROMs on this shit. And Nintendo's come after people for a lot less. So now he's just like, you know, fuck all you guys. I don't give a fuck of what Nintendo does, you know. Come at me, bro, type of shit. And so, you know, he's been posting stuff on Twitter that's been not so necessarily nice. And to which people have basically said, like myself, that's not going to end well for you, sir. But it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
All right, let's see if this works. I'm going to try to do it live. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Uh-oh, I'm not hearing it. Hold on, Raginator. It might be because my volume is all the way down. Try again, Raginator. Uh-oh. That's what I was worried about. Maybe the issue's over here. Hold on, I'm going to try to fix one thing over here real quick. I don't know.
Live radio, folks.
I know.
Live television.
Oh, you know what? No, I had this knob all the way down, so I bet that's why we couldn't hear him. Try again, Raginator. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Good.
I just needed to touch the knob. All right, anyway.
I could leave there very well alone. Thank you.
What's on your mind tonight, Raginator?
Well, since I already asked the question to Bobby, I can't ask you now, especially this since this will be your last show for the year. What would you say is your game of the year or games?
Game of the year or games? We're going to address this a little bit on our first episode back to give us a little time to play more games, but give us an early preview. What do you think is in contention for your game of the year, Loki? What do you think is in contention for your game of the year?
Contention, I would say probably Super Mario Odyssey, because I picked up my Switch in April. So, I mean, for me, that was kind of, you know, it was a really good game. So, yeah, that'd probably be one of them. I really, like, I didn't play a ton of games this year. At least I don't remember. I have to go back and think about it, but
I would say absolutely expect to hear Tetris Effect in my list somewhere. I just haven't decided where it's going to be yet.
Now, I'm not totally sure if I asked this last week or not, but just in case I did not, seeing as Steam is having their Christmas sale right now, did you pick up anything?
Not yet, but I'll probably go through my wish list later because I did see some games were down to like $5 or something like that. Look, guys, I have Raginator trapped in the box, just like I had Pop Culture last week.
Get me out!
But not yet because, thankfully, Loki already bought me the Katamari Damacy. That wasn't technically a sale, though, but that was a Steam wishlist purchase of sorts. So yes. That's kind of where my holiday playtime has been, at least so far.
Oh, excellent choice.
I agree. What about you? Have you grabbed anything? Like, tell us one game real quick.
I only got one thing, a piece of DLC. It's the deluxe edition upgrade to... what was the game? Shadow Warrior 2. That DLC is normally $10. It was 75% off. I already had the game for free. I mainly got the DLC because for the soundtrack and to a lesser degree the art book. But that was really the only thing I could have afforded. I just barely scraped together the $250 for that. So.
Well, there's also still a lot of time because the sale goes on until what, like June? Until June.
It seems like it.
January 3rd. Yeah, there it is. It ends January 3rd at 10 a.m. So, you know, early in the morning on January 3rd. But it's going through January 3rd, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that will get, like, gift cards and things that they get over the holiday that they'll want to spend on the store. And it seems like Steam no longer, like, I remember they used to do this whole, it's on sale for this much for these 4 hours. They kind of just stopped doing that.
They do different things each day. It switches up. I like to go to the game deals subreddit, and I watch stuff through there. Because they'll tell you, like, all these different sites that things are on sale, and you may even see, like, free games. Like, Humble was offering, like, a free Lego game last week and free Lego game this week.
So, oh, cool.
I've been adding stuff.
Doesn't the Epic Store start giving away games soon?
Yeah, Epic Store is doing Subnautica right now, so you can pick that up. So you may want to do that. I think I already have that, though, so I haven't really picked it up yet. I may do it anyways, but...
Your gaming backlog isn't big enough. Oh, I did see that, Soul, and it's on Loki's screen right
now.
Hey, Soul Calibur,
how many games I have right now.
Soul 573, no Konami.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 6 is 33% off, so that may be the one that finally gets me. All right. Well, Rage Nader, I'm going to let you go to try to see if we get any more calls in. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, sure. One thing before I do let you go.
Yep.
Just in case there's some people that listen to this show but don't necessarily listen to Bobby's show.
Isn't a good life choice, by the way, but that's fair. There's only so many hours in a day. Fine.
Yeah. I mentioned Bobby's show. If you happen to have an Xbox 360 or Xbox One, if you go onto their video store, they're having something going on where they're giving away free first seasons of a lot of anime series. So if you happen to like anime or just looking for something to watch, anything to watch, free entertainment, might as well grab it.
Makes sense. Give away the first season to get people to buy season 2 and 3. Makes sense. Exactly. All right, buddy. Thanks for the tip. Have a good one, okay?
Yeah. All right, have a good one.
Yep, bye. You too. Bye-bye now.
I swear to God, I don't remember half of these games that I purchased these. I need to, like, seriously. First off, I need to find a place to do streaming in my house, aside from my I wish it wasn't all in my garage. The house is just not that big. But then I need to go back and play all of these games. Just randomly pick a game off my Steam list every day and just do a stream of stuff. Because I have, like, I don't even know where I got half of this stuff. It's just ridiculous. Let's see.
That was... Okay, now it can... That was weird because somebody called and then it, like, disconnected. It wouldn't connect the call. So I had to call them. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Skype is all sorts broken.
Well, let's be real. The way I got it set up right now is, like, super crazy. But it works. So who are we going to trap in our box now? Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
You can't say I'm trapped in a box because I'm used to living in a box. I'm currently living in a box as we speak, okay?
Because you live in New York City, and how much are you paying for that shoebox? I can't even joke. We're not that far from San Francisco, and it's worse in San Francisco, if you can believe it.
Oh, I believe it. But it's like I tell people, you walk into my apartment, I have a galley kitchen, okay? And the galley kitchen is like 6 feet. And you turn around, and that's the boiler room. Once you come out, it turns into this square where... If I drop a piece of paper, my place is a mess. But on the plus side, you can't see it, but diagonally across from me is the coffee pot, the toaster oven, the air fryer, the popcorn machine, and the microwave, and the fridge. So I'm good.
I love it. You know what? Hey, and you live in New York City, one of the most fabulous places in the world. So you know what? It's awesome. But I bet it's great when you bring the ladies over.
See, there's a reason why I got rid of the bed and put a futon in. So I'm like, I get it.
They're all living in shoeboxes too, Rama.
Some of them. I'm just saying. I like to entertain my ladies, but I don't. They understand I'm in a small shoebox. I just don't want them to get. Well, you know, like that's why I got rid of the bed and put in a futon, so it looks like a friggin' couch.
Nice. Hold on. I'm trying to see if I can. Wait. How do I do this? How do I show you my video? Are you seeing our video?
I'm seeing your video.
Can you see? Are you seeing me?
Yes, I see you. I see the Final Fantasy IX poster behind you, the Borderlands 2 poster behind you.
I want you to see this guy down here.
Oh.
I'm showing you Mr. Smush is like down on the ground right here. So sorry, I can't change the whole camera setup right now. But anyway, sorry. Completely derailed the show to show off Mr. Smush to one individual, but worth it, okay? All right, anyway, Rama, what do you want to talk to us about tonight?
I'm going to cover that real quick, and I'm going to tell you what something geeky I just did. Now, in response to you of Mr. Smush being on camera from time to time, that gave Mako-chan the best idea. So what we're doing when we go live, she is going to position her camera on our staff cat, Damien.
Perfect. And
it'll see how long he'll stay there, you know, but you'll hear him purring at least 80% of the time because he's a loud son of a bitch.
Genius. I love it. No, that's a fantastic idea. Why not? And if the first cat leaves, that's just going to have to be where Patty's going to have to be like, oh, I got to get a second cat.
There is a second cat.
A third cat.
Don't give her any ideas.
God. I can't help it.
Oh, you are such a designated enabler, and I cannot wait till the two of you meet. She is going to collect you like Pokemon.
Did you hear that, Mr. Smush? You're inspiring others. You're inspiring people. He's licking his paws. He doesn't give a shit what I'm telling him. All right. You didn't have anything gaming to ask us this week?
No, I wanted to share something pretty cool. Now, okay. I don't know if you've seen lately, if a lot of people are geeking out their Christmas trees and stuff like that.
Right, of course.
I got friends who have Funko Pops on theirs. I actually got off my lazy tuchus, did a live stream yesterday, and put together my geeky little tree. And I'm going to see if I can get a little vision of it over here.
Which, unfortunately, is not going to come through on our own Twitch feed. But, yes, I do see a silvery tree with the giant ball ornaments that are very standard and some Christmas lights there. I do see that coming through on this. Yep, we sort of see the tree, yes.
And I'm slowly turning it, and if you look carefully, there is a Luigi ornament on the tree.
Oh, there sure is. How about that?
So, you know, I wanted to share that off, and I also wanted to know, are y'all geeking up your holiday trees this year? I'm just curious about
that. We didn't set up a tree this year because of the cat, actually, because the place where we would usually set up the tree, Smush is not going to allow that to happen. So he would knock that shit over so fast it would make your head spin. But when we do set it up, we actually got us an ornament set that actually has like a PlayStation controller, a Nintendo controller. Like, I mean, they're not official. They kind of look like knockoffs, but they're close enough. So little knockoff controller ornaments, and it's really cute and nerdy.
I like that. But I don't know if you've seen, but there's actually people who have posted pictures of their Christmas trees where it's halfway decorated and the rest is just bare so the cat can't reach it. Or they put up like a clear plastic border around it where the cat can't get past it.
I have seen that, and it's something to definitely consider for a future year. But the thing is, we like to put it in the window so you can see our tiny little tree from the street, but that is the exact spot where Mr. Smush goes like every day. Like, that's his TV. He goes to perch in the window and look at all the other cats that run out in the street and wonder, why can't I be outside playing with them? And it's like, you're not built for that, kitty. Somebody wanted you to be a show kitty. Oh, he just looked at me like, what do you mean? All right.
Precious.
All right, Rama, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up, but thank you so much for the call.
Hey, no problem. I also had to represent my quote-unquote ugly Christmas shirt.
Hey, I loved it. It's fragile with the leg lamp for those, obviously, they can't see the skull. Love it. All right, take care, buddy.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye. All right, there you go. That's going to do it for our Skype line tonight. I'm not going to take any more calls on that for right now. Let me see, though. I wanted to see if there were any questions in chat and then also just check in one more time to see if there's any last-minute stories. I mean, I know it's been a very slow news week, but I've seen you prodding over there, Loki, while I've been trying to look at all this stuff.
I'm just looking for something and not finding anything.
I am noticing in chat they're talking about their own nerdy trees here. Is that, let's see, Black Mamba says, I'm going to get a doggy crate for my tree. I think I saw a post on Facebook earlier that was something like, why aren't my presents barking yet? let's see. Brack the man says we have a regular tree and then a Harry Potter tree. Well, that sounds like fun. So very cool. All right. Well, I guess that's it. I guess we're about to wrap things up and get to our final thoughts tonight. We will not be back next week. We're going to take next week off the 30th for the holidays. I know Loki has some family stuff going on. Dark Soccer will still be out. So I may do something on my personal channel, but it won't be anything like OLR. I'll just play a game with listeners or something. Or I might just take a night off myself and go out. Do something I don't usually get to do Sunday night. So we'll see. But I hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas for those that celebrate a fantastic New Year and anything else you might celebrate this time of year. I hope it goes very, very well for you. And we are so looking forward to continuing this in 2019. You know, this last week and this week, these are the first two episodes on Twitch. Yeah. And now it's like,
you know what we get to do next time?
Huh? Get the audio in the intro. That was my fault.
No, we get to open that.
Oh, the time capsule.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and I can actually show this on Twitch now. Sorry, podcast listeners. But now we actually get to, you're right. This is something to look forward to. Sorry, you're going to have to look at my behind a little bit there. But look, you can actually see that we're going to open this guy in the new year. That's our little Vader time capsule that we made. And I'm trying not to show my butt on stream or my naked rear end or something there. So trying to move around carefully there. There you go. So that is something, yeah. And in chat, Spyro says, oh, yeah, don't forget about the time capsule, D'Artesia. Oh, yeah, glad Loki remembered. So good job. So there it is. Yeah, the time capsule is gonna happen there. So, all right. That's it. We're going to wrap up here another day here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into the show and listening to us. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about this feed. Please feel free to follow and all that stuff here on Twitch. We're still making our way to affiliate hopefully soon, and we'll be able to do the subscriptions and all that fun stuff as well. Loving the clips you guys made. Don't clip that last thing, Jesus. for the most part, loving the clips you guys made. And all the other stuff, too. This is great. I'm loving Twitch. And we're just going to build on it in 2019. My whole goal is to improve one thing every show. And then we'll get in a really good place, you know, by the time mid-2019 rolls around. But we definitely need to build up our following here. So tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes goes a long way as well for those of you that are still listening on the podcast feed. Hey, we're doing it for you guys too. And thanks for listening that way. And we appreciate a nice review wherever you may consume your podcast. So with that, we're going to wrap up for the night with any final thoughts. Loki, any final thoughts you have for us tonight?
I'm hoping to start streaming again this next week. Schedule's been just kind of crazy with just like stuff changing last minute, like having to pick up kids and stuff, and you know, running out of time, plus fighting with my stupid goddamn DVD drive and reading my not so legit disc in the drive to load different mixes on there. So I may have to go back to Extreme and just leave it there until I put Stepmania on the machine. But I'm hoping to put Stepmania on the machine sooner than later because I have all the parts and I just need to. I'm probably going to build the PC tomorrow because it's pretty fast. And I got to load Windows 10 on there. But I do want to get a custom theme done for Stepmania. So hopefully that won't take months to do. But we'll get something working because I want to do a lot of fun stuff. And Stepmania is really going to kind of energize me into playing more because it'll be not the same set of songs all the time. It'll be like hundreds of songs to play, so it'll be a lot of variety and fun stuff.
Awesome. All right. My final thought is looking forward to playing more Katamari Damacy. More stuff in my backlog. You know, I haven't really played like any Ingress lately. I've kind of like fallen off on that, so hopefully get back on some of that stuff as well. And yeah, I'm just I'm excited to do more gaming and streaming and focus on a lot of that in 2019 and continue our relationship here on Twitch. And thank you guys so much for joining us and listening to the show tonight. I think that's it. We're going to wrap it up. We'll see you next year, everybody. Have a wonderful night. And thanks again for checking us out here at Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great week. Happy gaming. And good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.